Okay, Rebosai. Let's remember where we were up to. excuse me. The Mishnah on Daf Tesam and Aleph. We'll read the Mishnah again. In Choshen Shemagera Cholim Yibayis Lebayis Mokom Mokom. To Imke Mechatzel Chatzel Meirle Eir Ein Ledover Sof. We discussed that, and the Gemara is not going to discuss the Mishnah at all. The Gemara is only going to discuss the Diuk from the Mishnah. Tam Adlo Chazina Deshakel Ha Chazina Deshakel Chayshina Nuboi Bedika. Right. If you don't see anything, then Ein Ledover Sof. But if you see a mouse took chametz into your house, then you have to search. From my name, Achalte, why don't we say it should be mutter because he ate it? Let's assume means he probably ate it. Milo tnan, don't we know that if an animal might have eaten something, then that is a good reason to be mako? Milo tnan. Medur sa'akam tamei, mekami yishab and mutter via mutter tarchadika arbarim yom. The Alfi Shein Loisha, remember we mentioned Alfi Shein Loisha, Rashi says, because even though he's not married, he has a znus. And the Rambam says, both in the Tshuva and in the Mishnah Torah and in the Perush Mishnayos, because a gzeira of they wanted to make a gzeira on all goyim to avoid confusion. This is the important part for us. Wherever a cholde and chazir can reach, doesn't need bedika because we assume they ate the nefel. And then we have two answers. There's a difference between meat and bread. Bread, the animals leave over because it's not quite as tasty, and therefore we have to search. But flesh, they eat it all up right away, and therefore we could be so make that there's no tum in the house. And Rava disagrees. Hi, Mai, is it even comparable? Bishlam Hasam Emar Havim Lohavim Jizlam Haba Emar Chalte. Well, Hacha the Vaday, the Chazin Shakal, Miyam Da Chalte, Visav Gavad, Miyam Sav Moti Miday Vaday. And that's what creates the whole Sugya that we're going to continue with. That Rava says, by the Medur Sa'akom, it's Safig Visafig. Maybe they buried an Aphel, maybe they didn't. And even if they did, maybe the animal ate it. So that's Safig Moti Miday Safig. But when it comes to the diuk for our Mishnah, if you for sure saw a mouse take chametz into your house, that's vaday chametz, and safik he ate it. The rule is ain't safik motim de vaday, which is going to be the topic of the next amud. But while we're talking about Medur Sa'akam, a few questions come up. Agav, there's an interesting tosos here, Dibur Maskel, Kol Mokom, etc. You wonder, how come you're allowed to walk into Medur Sa'akam nowadays? How can you go into Goyish house nowadays? Truth is, I might have said, well, nowadays, they probably don't bury an Aphel in the house because their houses are built differently than ours. And there's really no place to bury an Aphel. But okay, in Tosos days, not every place has Cholden Chazer. So Tosos says, he points out, it's not really a Chiddush of Tosos. It's a little bit. It's a Mefurish. It's a Mefurish Tosefta and Olos. That there's no Medur Sa'akum in Chutz La'aretz. And here, there's a not exactly clear why there'd be no Gzeira Medur Sa'akum in Chutz La'aretz. But just to point out, there's a bit of a machlokes. The Kesef Mishnah said, it doesn't mean there's no Isser Medur Sa'akum in Chutz La'aretz. It just means that in Eretz Yisrael, you could clean it out. If you look, the Mishnah says there, you have to check in this sewer and that. And if you check every place, then you're allowed to go in. In Chutz La'aretz, there are more machmir. And there's no way to clean it, and it's usher, and there's no way to like check and clean it out for the kohanim. So the Kesef Mishnah says davka chutzlar is more chomer. We paskin like Tosfos here, like the pashup shot that chutzlar is more kal. They just didn't make this gzeira. It's only gzeira. They didn't make the gzeira in chutzlar. Why didn't they make the gzeira in chutzlar? The Rambam says in the Perush Mishnayos, because since, as we'll discuss soon, there already goes there tumas eretz amim chutzlar. There is would be redundant. There's no need to make another gzeira for Medur Sa'akam once they were already gozer on Eretz Amim, so they weren't gozer in Chutz La'aretz. And that's the Rambam says of Perush Mishnayos. The Mishnah Melech, who's writing on the Mishnah Torah and didn't have a copy of Perush Mishnayos, he writes that they were only gozer in Israel because Trumas or Maisros is Doraisa, and therefore it's much more chomer that you could be Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim if you're Nitma by the Medur Sa'akam and eat Truma. And therefore, they're only gozer in Israel when there's truma daraisa. They weren't gozer in chutz laretz because it's not so chumer to be tamei because there's no truma daraisa anyway. Okay, we'll come back to this Rambam. In any case,
Rabbi, I mean, yeah. Isn't there another reason that in chutz laretz you can say they made that chutz laretz tamei for everything anyway? So,
yeah,
that's why I worry about one thing if it's altogether truma anyway.
That's the Rambam. The Kesemish says chutz laretz is yosher chumer, Tosfos. And the other poskim, let's call it Rishonim Achronim, say Yosir Kal. Let's see, even the Rambam. Tosfos, Rambam, the Ode, say it's more Kal. Lo Gazru. Why does Tosfos say Lo Gazru? So there, or Tosfos doesn't say, but the Rambam says, as Morty says, because Memela, it's Tame, right? That's Morty saying. There's Xerah Tome, Xerah Tame, it's Memela Tame anyway. Why be Gozer a double Tome when it's already a single Tome? In which case, it happens to be a good Kula for Kohanim. A Kohen can go in because he's already in Eretz Amim. So it's not worse for him to go into the Madur HaAkum. If Madur HaAkum would be Eretz Amim plus Maduras HaAkum, it would be also for the Kohen. But the Kohen can go nowadays, because in his own house is Eretz Amim, in the Goyish house is Eretz Amim, so it makes no difference. He might as well go. That's the Rambam, and the Mishlo Melech says, because Chashashu Litruma De'oraisa, since there's the Eretz Yisrael. They were only Choshesh, and Eretz Yisrael, because there's Truma Daraisa. Okay, we'll come back to that Rambam in a little bit. Now, let's go on to the interesting question brought up by Rashi. We know there's a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, a very famous Gemara, Yevamos Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, where Rav Shimon Bar Yochai makes a drasha. He says, Kivrei Ovdei Chachamim in Matamim Ba'ohel, a dead Goyim, Goyish cemeteries, etc. are not Matamim Ba'ohel, Shenemer Ve'aten Tzoni Tzonu Marisi Adam Atem, Atem Kriyim Adam, Ve'ino Ovdei Chachamim Kriyim Adam. Okay, the background is, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yomis Ba'ohel. There's only Tomas Ohel for Adam. And it says, Adam Atem, Jews are called Adam, and Goyim are not called Adam. Okay, there's a lot of Jewish history about this Gemara in Yevamos. Almost every gadol through the generations has a story where, you know, some king or nobleman asked him, how can you say that the Goyim aren't called Adam? After all, that's racist. And then he has a whole clever answer based, you know, starting with the question of Tosos here, which is that 80 times in Shas we find there's something called Adam and it does include Goyim. So obviously this is a little more complicated, but that's not our topic. Now, for these purposes, a guy is not called, for these purposes, a guy is not b'chal Adam, so therefore, a guy is not metame be'ohel. And the Gemara is, okay. So, it's not clear whether or not any Tanaim arguing with Shem Bar Yochai. Most Rishonim assume it's a machlokes Tanaim, and not everyone agrees with Shem Bar Yochai. While the Rambam in the Tshuva that's here on the Makor sheet assumes all Tanaim agree with Shem Bar Yochai. So, it's not clear whether there's a machlokas tanoim about Rishon Bar Yochai. It's not clear whether whether we pass like Rishon Bar Yochai or not. But certainly in the Gemara Bavli, they only mention the sheet of Rishon Bar Yochai. So all the Rishonim here have a kasha starting with Rashi right here. The kasha is how can they make Xerah? I understand the Xerah Mudoras Akum. It's only Xerah Drabanan. Why? Because Midoraisa, we have no evidence that they buried a Nafel here. Right? Midoraisa, it was Tohar before the guy moved in. Okay, Tos discussed already why Doraisa were not Choshesh. But let's say, for the sake of simplicity, and we'll come back to it much later, that we have no specific evidence. We have no latest asafik that they buried a Nafel here. All we know is that it was a Tohar house, and then a guy moved in. So Midoraisa, we assume that it's Tohar, and we don't worry about a Nafel. Midoraban, they were Chosh for a Nafel. But all the Rishon's questions, even if there is a Nafel, who cares? And a Hanami, a Nafel, has Tumas Meis just like a grown person who passes away. But a Nefel of a guy doesn't have Tumas Ohel. So who cares if a Nefel there? It should be Mutter anyway. That is the famous question of the Rishonim. Rashi, the first one who asked it here, perhaps, says Rashi. Because the goyim, unlike the Jews, bury the miscarried, the stillborn fetuses in their houses. And according to the Rabbanan, he assumes there's a Rabbanan who disagrees with Shem Bayochai. The goyim are mitami. Even according to Rishon Bayuchai, the Mishnah. So one answer one could say is, if you stopped here, which is that maybe this whole Mishnah is only the Rabbanan. Rashi's not saying that. But maybe you could say the whole Mishnah is only the Rabbanan if you ask the question of why is the Nefel Akum Mitame. So what you could say, which is not what Rashi is going to say, is that you're right. According to Shimon bar Yochai, he would never have written this Mishnah. But this Mishnah was written by the other Rabbanan who hold that a guy is Mitame Be'ohel and deny that drasha. This answer comes out of the Ritva and the Chiddush Aran here. Why? Because the Ritva and the Chiddush Aran right here are bothered by why in their days the Kohanim would not be Nizar and would go into Goyish houses. Why aren't they worried about the Tumas Mace? So what is the Ritva and the Chiddush Aran answer? He says, because we possibly, like Rishon bar Yochai, there's no Tumas Ohel for a Goy. Okay, then he gives two other answers also. Then he also gives Tosa's answer that it doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz, but the Chiddush Aran and the Ritva all first give their answer, is because we all like Rishon bar Yochai, there's no Tumas Ohel for a guy. Let's think about what they're saying. We all like Rishon bar Yochai, therefore we don't have to keep the Gzeirah Medoras Akum. In which case, he implies, whoever did make the Gzeirah Medoras Akum doesn't hold like Rishon bar Yochai. That's clear from what he says. He says, we possibly like Rishon bar Yochai, we disagree with the Din Medoras Akum. Contrapositively, whoever, what the Mishnah that said the Gzeirah Medoras Akum must hold against Rishon bar Yochai. So that comes out very clearly. They're not trying to explain the Manda Amar the Mishnah. They're trying to explain us. But Agav, they explain the Manda Amar the Mishnah. So one answer is the Ritva and the Ran. Not they're answering the question. It just comes out of what they say to answer a different question. Is that that Mishnah, where is that Mishnah? The Mishnah, Perek Yudches, Mishnah Zayin. Mishnah. The Meduras Ha'akum. Cholek al Rav Shimon bar Yochai and holds that there is Tumas Ohel by a guy. Okay, no problem. However, that's a little dachuk to say that whole mission is abused from Rav Yochai. And the truth is, if you look through all the Rishonim and Yevamos Av Samach Aleph, you see there's a few Rishonim who assume Agav Orcha that Mishnah disagrees with the Shimon bar Yochai. But that's a little dachuk because, you know, the mission doesn't say it's only one opinion. The mission doesn't bring a dissenting opinion. So Rashi and other Rishonim give another answer. What does Rashi say here? Ulur of Shimba Yochai Nami, the Amar Kivri over the Gachav, Mo'ayim, Eina Metagit, Metamim, however, Shimba Yochai, he would also, of course, agree with the mission Olos. The Mago Masa Modahud, Lo Eimad El Mitomas, oh well, Gol Mikri Adam. That's clear. That's the Gemara says. And it is funny, if you look in Halach Avelos, the Beis Yosef makes it sound like there's one Rishon who disagrees with this, but it's not true. No one disagrees with this. The Gemara says, the Ravina Amar Nehidim Atinu Krami, Itmui Ba'ohel, Dixav Adun Kiyamas Ba'ohel, Mi Mago Masa, Mimi Atinu Kra. A guy only doesn't have Tumas Ohel when he dies, but a dead guy does have Tumas Maga Umasa, and therefore Rashi says, the Medoras Ha'akum, they weren't worried about Ohel. They were worried about Maga Umasa. What does that mean? Apparently, simple shot, they didn't bury the Nefels terribly well, right? They didn't bury them 6 feet under, etc. You know, they threw them in the sewer, or they just covered them with a thin layer of dirt. And when you came in, you might either accidentally touch them, you know, I guess if you're barefoot or something, or maybe even if you bend down to pick something up from the floor, you know, you drop your pen on the floor, you bend down to pick it up, okay? And pens in their pockets in those days, but whatever it may be. You drop your coin on the floor, you bend down to pick it up, you might accidentally touch a Nefel or perhaps Masa, when you're standing and shuffling your feet in the dirt, you might kick some dirt and actually move the nafel. So therefore, Rashi says it's a tomas maga, the rechosh maga umasa. The Meiri here says the exact same thing. And the Ramban in Yevamastav Samach Aleph on that sugya says the exact same thing. So now again, it's a little dochuk. Who says you're going to touch or move the nafel? It's one thing, tomas ohel. Yeah, if he's there, you're doing tomas ohel. You're dead. To say you're going to touch it when you don't see it with your eyes, or even you're going to kick it when you can't see with your eyes, a little dachuk. Like, if I was the guy and I was burying my nafel, yeah, I would have at least buried the nafel deep enough that no one's going to touch it. Okay, but that's what Rashi says. Says Rashi and the Meiri and the Ramban in Yevamos, Chashashu, Limaga, Umasa. And similarly, the Rashi and Yevamos. Yeah? The Rashba and Yevamos and the Imam Cholava here, they say basically the same answer. They just don't mention Masa. They say Chashashu Lamaga. Okay, same basic answer. Just, you know, they don't think it's likely that you're going to move the Nafel. They think you might touch the Nafel. Okay, same basic answer. Basically, it's a little dachuk. But both these answers are a little dachuk, but we can live. Either this is against Rishon Bar Yochai, could be a Mishnah, could be against Wantana, or there are choshes you might touch and or move the Nafel, which is a little dachuk, but possible. Some of the Achronim, though, try to make chidushim based on this. the Rishash, well, the forget about the Rishonim. The Achronim, the Rishonim, the Shut Rambam, the Shut Rambam is actually mechavein to a famous gra. There's a shita that's famous as a gra, even though it was really Shut Rambam. I assume most people didn't necessarily have a copy of the Shut Rambam. They had a copy of the other books of the Rambam. This Shut Rambam seems to be legamre against the Mishnah Torah. You know, can I figure out a way to be miyashiv the Shut Rambam with the Mishnah Torah? Yeah, but not necessarily in a way that fits the pshat and is very convincing. It seems to be the Rambam might have changed his mind, even though the Rambam spoke in the Shut with great confidence. What did the Rambam say in the Shut Rambam? Someone asked him, is there a difference between a dead guy and a dead kever of a guy? Okay, interesting question. Because there is a tumah called kever, without getting into the details, right? There are some halachas of tumah that we'll get into more details the next time, Yirtzeh Hashem. There are some halachas of tumah that apply to a kever, not necessarily to the body itself. So they asked the Rambam, is there a difference between mace guy in a mace Yisrael or a kever guy in a kever Yisrael? Answered the Rambam in the Tshuva. He says, Mashahitra liga b'kever goyim. Some want to say you can touch the kever of a guy. Zilkrei be'rav aminulei. Go read the Chumash. Is a chilik mace by kever? How can you say you're allowed to touch the kever of a guy? He explains, because the Pasuk says, a kever has the din of a mace, and therefore, just like no gab a mace guy, yitama gam kain, hanu gab a kivro, shnei yitamu b'mago masa v'lo yitamu be ohel. What does he say? A mace guy and a kever of a guy are mitami b'mago masa and not be ohel. Okay, that's a chiddush. A kever of a guy is mitame b'mago b'masa. Okay, but could be. Kever a guy is like the guy himself. Then he brings from Rabbeinu Ephraim, not the Rabbeinu Ephraim Miregensburg Baal Tostos, but the Rabbeinu Ephraim Mikilachamed, the Talmud of the Rif. So Rabbeinu Ephraim wanted to prove something. There's a parenthesis here about Kiveri Goyim. He asked the question of Maguris Goyim. Says, ha, Maguris Goyim, why is there Tumah? And what does the Rambam say at the end of this tshuva? Okay, Rabbeinu Ephraim obviously wanted to prove a kever of a goyim time of ohel. He asked this question. Oh, we see goyim have tumas ohel because of the Mishnah Maduras Ha'akum. Ain't barak klal. The Rambam doesn't like it. The end of the tshuva. Ella tzarech livdo k'dili yusham v'chol asher yiga bo hanogea. The chshash there is negia. Says the Rambam, the chshash in Maduras Ha'akum is for Nagia, for Maga in the Lashon of Rashi, and not for Ohel. Okay, what exactly is the Chashash of Maga? So here's the question. Do you put the Rambam, what does this Rambam mean? But if you put the end of the Shuvah Rambam together with the beginning of the Shuvah of the Rambam, what did the Rambam say? Not only a dead Goy is Matami B'Maga, a kever of a guy is also matami b'maga. So mestama, that's what he means at the end when he was worried about asher yiga bo nogeya. In the end of the paragraph where he talked about how he's being mechadish and he thinks it's obvious, but you should know that a kever goes matami b'maga mestama. He means that maybe you'll touch the kever. And a hanami, he's not worried you'll touch the nafel. The nafel is buried underground, but whatever ground the nafel is buried in is considered his kever. And he was afraid you would touch the kever. And therefore, this Shut Rambam seems to say, this Shut Rambam is the famous sheet of the Gra. The Gra in his parish on Chumash Adaris Aliyah and Chukah says, kever shlifnei adibor shel nachrim, kever of a goy, metame v'maga bo ohel. Same sheet of the Rambam, kever of a goy is metame v'maga, if not, although not for ohel. What does that mean? And here he spells it out. If you touch on top of where the goy is in the kever, says if you touch the kever not on top of the goy, let's say, you know, the goy is here, but the kever is wider, and you touch the outside of the kever where it's just over empty air. No, that's only considered tumas ohel. That's only for a Jew. If a Jew, a dead Jew, would be in the kever, even if the kever is 3 feet wide and he's only 1 foot wide, that whole 3 feet is an ohel. So above that whole 3 feet is matami. A guy only above the guy. Above the guy, if you touch the ground above the guy, that's considered tumas maga be kever a guy. That's the chiddush of the Shut Rambam and the Gra, that a guy is a kever guy is matami be maga. Sheginegin ames mi lamala. And it sounds like the Rambam is trying to use that to answer our sugya. So let's do the Shut Rambam. Again, I'm adding a little to the Shut Rambam. All the Shut Rambam says is, you should know a kever goyiz matami b'maga. And then 10 lines later, you should know medur sa'akams because of a chash maga. But if you put two and two together within the same paragraph, not so crazy. What he's saying is maga of kever goy. And then, again, the Gra is not talking about... I'll put in parentheses because the Gra is not talking about our sugya of Medura Sakam at all. He's just Stam talking about Halacha L'maisa. What does he say? He says, maybe we're worried about Maga Kever, right? Meaning that's much more likely. Ah, we worried you can actually touch the dead stillborn fetus here? Nah, come on. They don't bury it in a way that everyone's going to touch it. That would be, that would just be weird. I know a lot of Rishon HaRachoshish for that. But that seems a little dachuk. You know, you think they would bury it. Ah, but even if they bury it, even if it's 2 feet underground, if you touch the ground above that fetus, then that stillborn fetus, then that's maga kever goy. And then it's metame, and then it makes sense there to make the gzera. Meaning, so that's a big chiddush. What's the chiddush? That, the ground above the buried mace is metame. That's a chiddush. Why is that a chiddush? Because that's against the normally accepted halacha. For example, if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Tumas Meis Perak Dalad Tes Alach Dalad, he says Ha'akam Einlam Tumas Kvaros Hol Ve'in Matamin Ba'Ohel Hari Enugia Be'Tivron Kivron Tahor. The Rama and most folks can say no. If you touch the kever of a guy, you're tahor. Achiyiga Be'Atzma Shel Tuma Uyisena. Unless you touch or carry the Etzim Hatuma, the dead body itself. Okay, so this is a chiddush against the Rama. It's against most poskim. Most poskim assume. Again, the Rama against the Rama is a little funny. He must have changed his mind. I think he changed his mind. All the answers they give to Miyashev, I mean, they are too dachos. but that's a big chiddush. Of course, why would this be such a big chiddush? Because you should know, because this, if this was true, then what that would means is, even though the poskim write me'ikra din, you should know halachically, I don't know if there's any kohanim here, me'ikra din, we pass like Rishim Bar Yochai, that a guy is not matami but ohel. Lechachila, where machmir, like the alleged other rabbanon, this Shut Rambam says there are no other rabbanon, like the other tanaim, that were choshev tumas ohel of a goy. But me'ikar din were mekel tumas ohel of a goy. However, according to this Shut Rambam and this Gra, mekel tumas ohel of a goy means that you can go into the building with a dead guy, means that you can go, you know, into the cemetery where there are dead goyim, but you still can't touch the ground above where the goy is buried, because that is maga bekever goy. Okay, that's a big chiddush, but that would explain our Mishnah. The last answer, yes.
Isn't there an important conceptual difference between the Rambam and the Gra? That the Rambam is saying that Kever of a Goy can mean independent source of Tuma from the Pasuk by Midian. Now, the Gra is explaining that Pasuk, but he thinks that I understood that what he was saying is that the Kever is only going to become Tame as a product of the fact that there is a mace inside it, and the Tuma Kasva Ola and the Mela, the Kever right on top of the Goy, is Tame. In other words, nothing in being, let's say I touch part of the Kever that's not connected to the mace. So Rambam would say that is Tame, and the girl would say that's not Tame. And I don't know, unless there are other nafkaminas between
Tome. Aha. What you're saying is that you think the Rambam might be going further than the Gra. The Gra says the Tome of Kever Goy is only directly above the dead body. And the Rambam might think the Tome of Kever Goy is the whole Kever, no matter how big it is. In the Shut, we're not talking about in the Mishnah Torah, where he has a totally different Shita. Because the Rambam does not explicitly make a distinction. And if he doesn't explicitly make a distinction, then Minastam, you're saying,
that the whole
Minastam, let's assume it's the whole Kever. So I'm not sure if that's a fundamental distinction, although
I'm saying
perhaps.
Meaning like the Gra thinks that a kever is lo gara than a table or anything else that, Kabbalah Tumah that happens to be on top of the gar. And he doesn't think it's anything to do with Tumah's kever, which is why I'm talking about, that's what the Pasuk is talking about, meaning the Pasuk could say anything. But I'm saying, I think that's what the Gra is saying.
Right. Okay. Yeah. The truth is, I was going back and forth about this Gra. Because you're right. On the one hand, the Gra seems to minimize the Kever idea, right? He says, Tuma Bokasva, Ola Bokasva, Yoredes. After all, the Tuma of the Goy, that Tuma Bokasva, Ola Bokasva, Yoredes is Dafka, not Tuma Kever in general in Shas, right? Just means the Tuma of the dead body is off the ground. And that's why it's only connected to the dead body. Even though he darshins from the word from the word kever, because he's based on the Medrash Chazal, why does it have to add the kever? L'rabos, kever shalifnei adibur. Lifnei adibur means before the revelation of the Torah, which basically means kever of a goy. So you're right. The Gra here is a little confusing, because on the one hand, he darshins from the word kever. It's a Tomas kever goy. On the other hand, he doesn't focus on the kever. He focuses on the Toma of the mace, which is just considered to go up and down, but down is not relevant for us if it's underground, which is considered to go up, and it's as if you're touching it's as if you're touching the mace. So I admit I'm a little confused about this Gra. Is the Gra a real Chalos Tomas Kever? Just he has a more restricted version of Kever for a guy. For a Jew, the Kever is as wide as the Kever is, because it's an Ohel. A guy, since a guy doesn't have Ohel, the Kever is only what's directly above him, is considered to be Kover him. In which case, he's pretty much the same as the Shut Rambam. Or is this Gra learning from the word Kever, but the word Kever is just a rem as the Alma and a Drusha, but not conceptually significant, which is what Yaakov was suggesting. And what he's really saying is you're touching the guy.
Yeah.
What he's really saying is that when you touch the ground above the guy, it's as if you're touching the guy. Because the principle of Toma Bokas of the Ole, and it's not really Chalos of Kever. Okay, I think it's ambiguous, but I think you're right. The Gra may or may not, the Rambam seems to be very, 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 very clear. It's a Chalos Kever. For the Gra, he darshens the word Kever. So if you take the Drusha seriously, it's just a more limited Chalos Kever. But if you're willing to say that, no, the Drusha is just a Drusha of the Alma, has not to do with the conceptual nature of what's going on, then it's not a chalos kever. It's just considered like touching the guy. The chiddush is when you touch something that is attached. I don't mean attached like with crazy glue. I mean attached like, shayach to, and there's nothing in between. It's as if you're touching the body itself. That's what Yaakov is. That's what Yaakov is timing. And, I was definitely influenced by the drusha. But if you look at his lashon, tuma v'kas, I think you might be right that maybe ignore the drasha, not ignore the drasha, but take the drasha as just b'derech remez, not b'derech conceptual nature, and then he'd be saying something which is practically almost the same, but conceptually different, and perhaps even conceptually gets closer to the Rishash, even though practically much more like the Rambam. Okay, Yaakov, you are correct. Maybe we'll put that on the
one question. Isn't Rambam more like Tumas Ha'amim, that the whole house becomes one kever, just like Eretz Ha'amim is one big kever?
I think you might be right, but we're not up to that yet. Okay, so, but I wouldn't call it kever necessarily. But no, you're right. But let's first learn the Rishash. The Rishash here, Alatar, has a tremendous chiddush. Much more machrin than the Shut Rambam and the Gra. The Shut Rambam and the Gra say, if you touch the kever of a guy, you're tummy. But they admit if you don't touch, you're tahor. Like, let's just take an example, Halacha Lamaisa, right? Again, this is all according to Shem Bar Yochai, which we paskin like Me'ikra Din. We're L'chadchila, we're machmir. But I'm talking about Me'ikra Din. The according to the Rambam and the Gra, as long as you're wearing shoes, it's okay to walk in a goy for a kohen to walk in a goyish cemetery, because he's not touching the graves because he has shoes on, right? The Rishash is much more machmir. Says the Rishash a big chiddush based on the Gemara in Chulin, I think Daf Kuf Mem Hey, whatever he said it was, which doesn't say quite this. But the Gemara there says there's some two kinds of ohel. There's one kind of, there's two kinds of ohel. There's ohel of being directly above the mace or directly below the mace, which are the same. And there's ohel of being under the same roof as the mace. We all understand that being directly above the mace seems to be a little closer than being under the same roof as the mace, right? If I'm right above the mace, that's one step, mace to me. If I'm under the same roof as the mace, like mace to the roof, down to me. So says the Gemara in Chulin, at least in some circumstances, most circumstances, that if, what about Seir of Thomas? If I touch half a gzayis of a mace and I'm directly above half a gzayis of a mace, those are mitzarif. Because that kind of ohel is similar to Nagia. So it's mitzarif with maga. But if I touch half a gzayis of mace, and I'm under the same roof as half a kezias of a mace. Right, obviously, I'm touching half a kezias of a mace outside the door, and the rest of my body's inside the door under the same roof as half a kezias of a mace. It's not mitzarif, because under the same roof as what they call olam shacha is not similar enough to touching. Now that's talking about seiruf. What everyone else understands that gemara is ohel is ohel, but some kinds of ohel are mitzarif with maga, and some kinds of ohel are not mitzarif with maga, but they're all ohel. Tremendous chiddush says the Rishash. Shemayahil ala kever v'zem mikri maga k'demuchach b'reish payu gimel z'olos u'charava b'chun da'filu malam mitafav mikri maga v'tosuz yom k'mishazul lo yard lazat neither did anyone else, according to him. What does he say? Tremendous chiddush. It's not just l'inyan tseir of half a gzayis. In terms of the sug of tuma, if I'm directly above something, that's called touching. Tumas ohel is only if I'm not above and not below, but under the same roof. Anytime I'm above a mace, that's called Tumas Maga. This is going much further than the Shut HaRambam and the Gra. Even if I don't touch the kever, even if I'm wearing shoes, I'm on top of the kever. Even if I am in a helicopter above the kever, even if I just stick my hand above the kever and I'm not in contact with it at all, anything directly above a mace, all the way up to the sky, is considered Maga. And therefore, since everyone agrees, all Tanarim agree that a mace guy is matame v'maga, therefore being directly above, this is a big chiddush, even walking in the cemetery with shoes, if you're directly above the goyish body, then even Rishon Bar Yochai admits that you're a tame. Tremendous, it's really a shitas yachid of the Rishash. Okay, some people mistakenly think that's what the Gra meant, but if you look at the Gra, it's clearly not what he said. This is a shitas yachid of the Rishash, says the Rishash. Rishash, he says, it's called Mahil Al Hames Chashov Maga. If you're above the mace, that's considered touching. The Chiddush and Tumas Ohel is not being above the mace, that's touching. Chiddush and Tumas Ohel is being not above the mace, but under the same roof as the mace. That is a very, very, very big chiddush. That's tremendous nafgamina. Lemaisa, we don't hold like this chiddush in the Rishash. But it's a big chiddush.
Okay. The Gra is not saying that.
The Gra is not saying that. If you read the Gra carefully. What did the Gra say? He says very explicitly, if you touch the kever right above the mace. He doesn't say if you are above the kever. I think the Gra is very explicit.
Like the Tumas mace bokas. So it's bokas.
I know, it's bokas.
Even through the Jews.
No, Tumas mace bokas. The Tumas mace goes through the kever, right?
But it
Tumas mace goes through the kever. The whole kever is full of Tumas mace. It breaks through, but it breaks through the kever, and therefore if you touch it, you're touching Tumas mace. But if you're above it, again, the Gra is not the same as the Rishash. What the Rishash is saying is that if I'm 4 feet above the mace, I'm touching the mace because the tum of the mace is a line that goes all the way up. And therefore, if I touch that line, I'm touching the mace. That's not what the Gra says. The Gra says the tumas mace goes through the whole kever. So if I touch the kever, I'm touching the mace. If I'm above the kever, I am not touching the mace. So I don't think the Rishash is the same as the he didn't have to say Imnaga Bekever. He could have said Imhel Al Ha Kever. So I don't think it's the same.
Are there any other examples of Tumas Maga through Tuma Bokas except for this?
Not that I know of. I admit the Gra's Lashon is funny, but I think he very clearly says Imnaga Bekever. Why do you say Imnaga Bekever? Clearly the Rishash is going too far. Okay, these are four answers. The question is just...
When do you have Tumas Ohel according to Rishash?
When I'm not above or below the mace, I'm just under the same roof as the mace. That's Tumas Ohel. According to the Rishash. Tumas Ohel only means under the same roof. Okay, now the question is, how does the Rambam hold? Which of these answers does the Rambam hold like? The Rambam paskins, I hope I brought enough Rambams on the Makor sheet. The Rambam brings down the din of Medurus Ha'akum. He paskins Medurus Ha'akum. Perik Yud Aleph Al-Chazayin, Makum Shachtum Ba'akum, Be'eretz Yisrael, Arizim Atamek, Eretz Akum, Achi Yibodek, Shemakov Bo Nefelim. It's Tameh until you check it. So he brings up Medurus Ha'akum. You can't say, let's give the Rambam a color. You can say he holds that the Mishnah Medurus Ha'akum is against Rosh Hashanah Yochai. See, passing like Rosh Hashanah Yochai in the first paragraph of Thomas Mace, Ein Ha'akum Etame Be'ohel. So the Rambam can't hold that that Mishnah is against Rosh Hashanah Yochai because he passing like Rosh Hashanah Yochai and he paskins that Mishnah. Okay, can you say, he holds touching a kever of a goyiz metame? No, because in Thomas May's Perek Tesel HaGadalit, he says, Hari no gea bekever and tahor. If you touch a kever of a goy, you are tahor. And he says the same thing in Avil Perek Gimel, she kivro sehem tahorim. So he can't hold like himself in the Shad Rambam. He must have changed his mind. Again, there is, if there's an Orsa Meach in the first paragraph of Thomas Mace, who seems to hint that maybe he's trying to be Yashav, there's different kinds of Kever, etc. But it's not going to fit into the words of the Mishnah Torah. How about the Rishash? Maybe he holds that there's no Thomas Kever for a guy, but being above the guy is considered like touching the guy himself. Can't be, because Nechos Avili says, Mocha l'koin l'konis l'sham v'lidro chal kibroseyem. A Kohen can walk on the Kever of a guy. The Tuma goes up. When he walks on the kever of the guy, he's above the guy. Doesn't matter. The Rambam doesn't agree with the Rishash. He thinks it's fine to be above the guy and walk on the kfarim. Because if that's only Thomas Ohel, no one agrees with the Rishash. So what's shot in the Rambam? So does the Rambam hold maybe there is no problem of Ohel in... maybe the Rambam holds... They weren't choshesh for Ohel in Medurus Akam. They were only choshesh... Sorry, I'm just getting out the whole perek in the Rambam. Maybe the Rambam holds like Rashi. They weren't choshesh for Ohel. They were only choshesh for Maga and Masa. But says the Mishlo Melech doesn't sound that way. Why? Because the Rambam puts it in a context. the whole Perek Yud Aleph of Tumas Meis is about Eretz Amin. Eretz Amin betchila gozru, and then there were gozru al avira sheyitame ve'afgav shlo nagav lo nasa elokim shenichnas roshu aver Eretz Amin nitma. As long as you're in the aver of Eretz Amin, even the airspace is tummy. Okay. So says the Mishnah Melech, if the Rambam says Makom sheshachtem u'goyim be'eretz Yisrael is in a tamei ke'eretz ha'amim, sounds like ke'eretz ha'amim is the same as eretz ha'amim is even Tumas Ohel. So says the Mishnah Melech, it's meduyik in the Rambam that eretz that Medurus Akum is just like eretz ha'amim. It's even mitamei in the airspace in the Ohel. That's what it seems like. So Pashtus says the Mishnah Melech, I think it's a good diuk. Nope, the Rambam doesn't hold like that answer either. In which case, there's a problem. The Rambam doesn't have any answer, right? The Rambam passed like Rosh Shum Bar Yochai, Goy is not Matami Be'ohel. Yet he thinks Medurus Ha'am are Matami Be'ohel. And he doesn't hold to these Chidushim of the Gra, even though he himself wrote in the Tshuva, or this Chiddush of the Rishash. So says the Mishnah Melech, no, exactly where I came from in asking a question on the Rambam is Gufa the answer for the Rambam. The Rambam puts Medurus Ha'akam into a certain context. The whole Perek Yud Aleph is about Eretz Ha'amim. And what does the Rambam say in Aluch HaZayin? Makom sheshachtem u'goyim be'eretz Yisrael, harizim etame ke'eretz ha'amim. The Tuma is like Tumas Eretz Ha'amim. This goes back to the Rambam we had on the last board. Why does the Rambam not think they were gozer Medurus Ha'akam and Chutz La'aretz? Why does he say only Makom sheshachtem u'goyim be'eretz Yisrael? The answer is because Medurus Ha'akum is part of the Gzera of Eretz Ha'amim. It's not an independent Gzera. It's part of the Gzera of Eretz Ha'amim. Of course, there's no point being Gozer Medurus Ha'akum in Chutz La'aretz because you can't be Gozer an extension of Eretz Ha'amim in Chutz La'aretz. It's already Eretz Ha'amim. Not just what I'm adding to the Rambam, not just they didn't bother to be Gozer Medurus Ha'akum in Chutz La'aretz because they already had another Gzera and why make two Gzeras in one place? No, because it's only one Gzera. You for sure can't make the same Zera twice in one place. There's one Zera called Eretz Ha'amim. And the Chiddush is, even where a Goy lives in Israel is considered Eretz Ha'amim. That's the Chiddush, Matamik Eretz Ha'amim. In which case, that answers the question, why is Eretz Ha'amim Matamik if you hold like Rishon Bar Yochai? It's a special Zera on Eretz Ha'amim. Why did they make a special Zera on Eretz Ha'amim? Okay, they decided that they wanted, for whatever reason, you know, they wanted the Jews to be separate from Eretz Ha'amim. So therefore, even though there's no real chash in Eretz Ha'amim because there are only Goyim who live there, and the Goyim are not Matam, but oh, well, there were Gozer anyway in Eretz Ha'amim because they had something against Eretz Ha'amim. Okay, nothing personal to, you know, any of us who might be going back to Eretz Ha'amim.
Rabbi, and Kohanim and Eretz Yisrael are held to a higher standard?
No, not only Kohanim. Everyone in Eretz Yisrael is held to Kohanim and Eretz Yisrael. Oh, that's... You mean, why do Kohanim and Eretz Yisrael not allowed to go into Eretz Ha'amim, but Kohanim and Chutz La'aretz are allowed to go into Eretz Ha'amim, you're asking? Because the same reason Kohanim and Eretz Yisrael aren't allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz. Again, I'm not talking halacha l'maisa nowadays, the Shach and the Taz and Yoredeasim and I think Shin Samach Tes have all kinds of reasons why nowadays the Kohanim are Mekel. But Shmuel, there's no Chiddush here. A Kohen in Chutz La'aretz is allowed to stay in Chutz La'aretz. A Kohen in Israel is not allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz. Okay. So likewise, a Kohen in Israel is not allowed to go to Medurus Ha'akam. Same reason a Kohen in Israel is not allowed to go to Disney World. A Kohen in New York is allowed to go to Disney World. It's Eretz Ha'amim. No, so the answer is that a Kohen who's already in Eretz Ha'amim, they weren't gozer on him, that he has to be an Avram Avinu. He should, you know, would be nice. He has to be an Avram Avinu, lech l'chomi arzcham elatcham beisavicha, because it's only Drabbanan. A Kohen in Israel, they were gozer on him. He shouldn't go to Chutz La'aretz, just like he shouldn't go to Chutz La'aretz. He shouldn't go to Medurus Ha'akam, and just like a Yisrael in Israel, if he goes to Chutz La'aretz, should know that he's Tameh. A Yisrael in Israel, if he goes to Medurus Ha'akam, should know that he's Tameh. I think it's Mukhrich, the Mishnah Melech's right. The question is, why were they gozer like Eretz Ha'amim if there's no source of Tumah? The answer is just like Eretz Ha'amim, there goes with no source of Tumah. It's a special extension of the Gzeira of, it's an extension of the Gzeira of Eretz Ha'amim. You know, the Nephilim are maybe even an excuse. You know, the excuse is, there's Nephilim there, so there's some, like, Grora de Tuma, and therefore they were Gozer. Till you check it out. But really, it's part of the Chumrah. Basically, the Chumrah of Eretz Ha'amim is that even though Goy is not Matami, but Ohel, nonetheless, there are goyish or ungoyish places that there is tumas ohel, and Eretz Amim is a goyish place. That's why it's called Eretz Amim. Notice they don't say chutz laaretz. It is chutz laaretz, but in this context, it's always called Eretz Amim, right? And Medurah Akum is a goyish place. And I think Pashat, that's the answer for the Rambam. Okay, can I, without...
Can the coin from chutz laaretz go to Medurah Akum and Eretz Yisrael?
It's an interesting question. A coin from chutz laaretz, after all, if we assume a coin from chutz laaretz who visits Israel is allowed to go back to chutz laaretz, right? Because that's where he lives. Is he also allowed to go to Medurah Akum while he's in Israel? I'm not sure. It's a good question. You know, it could be, even though it would be a chiddush. No, I'm not sure. Anyway, let's just see if we can stick in the Mishnah Melech. It says the Mishnah Melech, Bedas HaRambam, and I think it's Meduyak. Like, what is it doing here in the middle of the perek of Eretz Amim? Especially since you might say, meaning, can always say, the diok is in the perek Yedalef for Eretz Amim. It's not always such a mochruk diok because, like, what if there's something that takes up half a perek and something that takes up half a perek? So the Rambam will put them in one perek because they're somewhat similar to each other, even though they're not doing each other in lumdus. But it's just fascinating that halachas aleph to vav is about Eretz Amim, halachas zayin to yud aleph is about Medurah Akum, and then halacha yud beis goes back to Eretz Amim. So, like, he goes back to Eretz Amim afterwards. That might imply that, really it's a din of Eretz, Amim. So he says, midin regular Tomas Meis, midin Tomas Eretz Amim. And that's the Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that Eretz, the way that Tomas Eretz Amim works is that we find some that we're Choshesh for Tomas Ohel. That we're Choshesh, the big Chiddush. We're Choshesh for Tomas Meis, Tomas Ohel, even of Goyim in Eretz HaAmim. Okay, that is a big Chiddush. That is a big Chiddush. But that's what seems to come out of the Rambam. Okay, if you read the parak very carefully, there seem to be many things that support this, unless you want to read a lot the whole equation of Eretz HaAmim Lav Davka. But if he says Eretz Amim, if you look in the whole parak, has a lot of unique things about it. It's Tumah that break all the normal rules. And yet he said Medurah Akum is Eretz Amim. Must be. It's not regular Tumas Meis. It's a special Gzeira. Okay. So much for a Tumah of a Goy. There's no other questions. We will go
back. Technical question. Why is like Gzeira only after 40 days? Can't the woman become pregnant beforehand?
Well, hold on. If a woman becomes pregnant and miscarries after 39 days, that's not considered a nephil and it's not matame.
Yeah, they can move when the woman's already pregnant.
Yeah, that is a... I haven't really figured that out. Meaning, if the guy is married, right? Mistama, a married guy, even though he's not married. A married guy, Mistama moved with his wife. Why couldn't she have been 30 days pregnant when they moved? And then 10 days later, she could be pregnant enough to miscarry a chalos nephil. I've been wondering about that. It seems a little strange. You know, the answer on some level, because of course you're right. The answer on some level is going to be, well, there's only Gzeira d'Rabbanan. They weren't gozer on anything that's possible. They were gozer on like something that has a basis, has a latest asafik that we see in front of us. If we see the man there for 40 days with his wife, that in front of us, we've seen the possibility of a nephil. If we only see him there for 20 days with his wife, then we know that he could have been married to her beforehand, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't see that concretely in front of us. You need a concrete basis in front of you that could lead to a nephil. But I admit that that it could be that you could that there must be something I could add that would make the explanation a little better that I haven't come up with yet. But that's what I'm going to say for now. You need a concrete latest asafik in front of your eyes that would lead to a nephil, which means they have to have enough time to be 40 days pregnant, bifanenu. Okay, but I'm not, you know, it could be there's something else to be said. If anyone knows what there is to be said, please feel free to say it. Okay, then we will go weiter. The Gemara asks, the ain suffik motzvi de vadai. Is it really true that a suffik heter is not motzvi de vadai, yes, sir? Vatanya, chaver shemais beniach migur mele apeiro, safilu bnei yomari and becheskas misukanim. If a chaver, someone who's naman on trumas or maestros, dies and leaves a bin full of produce, even if they were only brought into the house that day, we assume that he took off trumas or maestros. That's called mitukanim. Tikan is to take off trumas or maestros, and you can eat it. There's no chash tevel because a chaver, we assume, would have been mafresh trumas or maestros right away because he's such a zariz in mitzvos. Over here, it's suffik and mosim devadai. They're for sure tevel, right? Because they grew and they were tevel. They always started out as tevel, we think now. They're for sure tevel. And maybe he was mafresh, maybe he wasn't. Like we think, psychologically, we think. It's very nice that we think, but we're not sure. So don't we see that a suffik is mosim devadai? So just like the suffik of the human chaver having the habit of being mafresh is mosim devadai tevel, why shouldn't the suffik of the mouse habit of eating bread be motzi midei vadei chametz? So we have two answers. First answer, hasam vadei yovadei hu de vadei ma'asri k'or chanina. First answer is that maybe that's not a suffik in a vadei, that's a vadei in a vadei. Rabbi Hanina's chiddush is, it's not a suffik, not even a 60%, 70%, 80% suffik that the chaver is mafresh. It's 100% sure the chaver is mafresh. What does 100% sure mean? Nothing's 100% sure, meaning close, practically 100% sure, right? You all know that there are some people who, you know, if I asked you, if you think that, you know, if you think when Rabbi Miller got up this morning, you know, when you see him at 11 o'clock, he's healthy, Baruch Hashem, do you think he put on tefillin and daven this morning? So no one knows for sure, right? But we're all 100% sure that he did. Right, that's what Hanina says. You don't know. You're not a novi. You don't have a crystal ball. You don't have a spy cam. But there are things that we're 100% sure they do because we're just sure. That's Rabbi Hanina's chiddush. Der Hanina Amar Hanina Chazaka Chazaka Al Chaver She'ena Motzvi Tachzi Yada Davar She'ena Mitukan. It's a Chazaka on the Chaver. Chazaka meaning Chazaka Bevadai. He would not let anything that is not mafreshed get out of his hands. Meaning, while he's still there, he might not have been mafresh, but the second he leaves and lets it out of his sight, he would not leave it unmafreshed because he doesn't want to make a takala for anyone who might accidentally eat it. And that we're sure of. It's a vadai uvadai. That's the first answer.
Isn't that really a rove, not a chazoka?
It's an interesting question. Very often in Shas, I think we discussed this very briefly on Daf Dalet, maybe. Very often in Shas, when we have like psychological assumptions, we call them chazaka and not rove. We don't say most of the people do this. We say chazaka, that's how someone acts. Part of the reason might be, maybe like Rav Chanina Chazaka, it's easy to explain. It's not a rove. A rove means probably. This is for sure. When something is more than probably, it's for sure, we might call it a chazaka. That's a chazaka. Chazaka means we're sure it's not just a rove.
So are you saying you don't have to be mavarer if you could?
For sure, you don't have to be mavarer, exactly. Even if the chaver, even if you could call the chaver and check with him, or in the old days, send a fast shliach to shul where he's sitting and learning the base medrash and check with him, you don't have to. So chazaka, you're 100% sure. That's from Chanina Chuzah. And that's the first answer. The second answer is much more interesting. No, it's a suffik, usafik. Who says vadai tevel? It was only suffik tevel. How could it never have been tevel? Dilma meikar, emer dolo tefili. Maybe originally it was never tevel. Kareb oshaya, like Reb oshaya, the amr of oshaya, marim adam or oshaya is a trick. Person can do a trick, al tuaso, on his produce. Umachnisa bimot shela. And bring it in with the, is mot chaff in English? I think it might be the chaff. Meaning you bring it in. The Rishonim actually are not 100% clear whether it means just mixed with or inside, but the simple shot is you bring it in without threshing it, right? The kernel is still inside the husk, inside the motz, right? So you bring it in unprocessed. In order that your animal could eat it and be potter from meiser. Okay, so you do this trick, meaning in order that it not be tevel. If you bring it in b'mot shela with the chaff, with the husk, then it won't be tevel, and your animal can eat it, and you'll be putter from meiser. meaning
if we say that we're not choshei shechover, that for sure he would normally take trumas and maisos, why are we choshei the chover that he's going to do harama?
Aha. So the all the Rishonim asked that question. They say, now, first of all, just to be fair, Morty, this is the second answer. This is not Rav Chanina Chozah, right? Rav Chanina Chozah was the alternative. This is saying, even if you don't hold Rav Chanina Chozah, you can answer it suffig or suffig. Nonetheless, it is a little weird.
He's still a chaver. Here it's not a chaver, it's an Adam.
No, but it is, right, but we're applying Rav Shaya to our original price of chaver shemesvi niach megor million pairs. Why would a chaver do a harama? So there's a few answers in the Rishonim. One second, I marked them down someplace. I'm trying to remember where there's a few answers in the Rishonim why a chaver would do a harama. There's a few answers why a chaver would do a harama. One answer they've shown him, but I wrote for myself where, but I can't find the notes now, is that we're talking about a chaver nowadays. Okay, I hate to depress anyone with Yeridus Hadoros, but we might remember what it says in Brachos Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis, right at the beginning of Ketzin Mevarchim, right, the second Amud of Ketzin Mevarchim. It says, come and see, the Doros Rishonim are not like Doros Achronim. The Doros Rishonim, the earlier Doros, used to bring their produce into the house through the gate. So it would be Chayiv and Meiser. It would have what's called in halachic lingo, Re'ias Pnei Habayis. But nowadays, in the later generations, they bring it in Derech Gagin and Derech Karpifos. They bring it in through the storage yards and through the roofs, etc., in an unusual fashion, in order to be potter from Maestros. So one answer might be, here we're talking about a chaver in the later times, in the latter days, and the chaverim in the latter days were not as from as the chaverim in the earlier days, and they weren't as makbid on mitzvos, meaning they were makbid not to do averos, but they weren't makbid to be zrizim in mitzvos and they used tricks. So one answer might be, why are we choshed a chaver for a trick? Because brachas daf lamed hayom and beis, in the latter days, the chaverim were on a lower madrega and they wouldn't do averos, but they weren't super stark and they would do tricks to get out of mitzvos. Second answer might be, because since they're only feeding it to their animal, this is what the Chiddush Aran says, if they're only feeding it to their animal, then it's okay to do a trick. That for a person to eat it, it would not be proper for a chaver to do a harama. But since he's only feeding it to his animal, a harama is an okay thing to do. And we and Chazal allowed you to do a harama to feed your animal, because feeding animals is not the real, it's not the real purpose Hashem had in mind when you talk about Trumas or Maestros in the Torah. Really, Machal Behemah is not Chayiv and Trumas or Maestros. They are just, there's some things you can feed to people or animals, and the whole sugya is people might eat them sometimes, and animals might eat them sometimes, etc. But since the real spirit of the law of Trumas or Maestros was not for animals, it was for people, and here you're only doing it for your animals, therefore it's okay to do a trick when it's not within the spirit of the law in the first place. Hashem never really cared that our animals eat maisered food. He really cared that we eat maisered food. And therefore, that's not such a bad trick. Okay, the Maram Chalava here has a, if I recall correctly, has a third answer, which is more intricate. And I will say, if my memory serves me correctly, Ayin Shem and the Maram Chalava might have a third answer, but let's suffice these two answers. Maybe the second answer is also Maram Chalava, I don't remember. Either these are the latter day chaverim, who are not as zrizim about mitzvos as the earlier day chaverim, like we see Furish in Brachos 35b, or it's always fine to do a harama to feed your animal, because since the spirit of the law was really for people, therefore, even though technically the halacha would apply to feeding your animal also, but since that's not really the main spirit of the law, it's okay to do a harama to get out of it. Okay, that's the Chiddush Aran here, Alatar, on the Makor sheet. Okay, so those are two answers at least to why we would assume a chaver would do a harama. Now, here we get into a big machlokas. what does it mean? Kadesh de marim adam al tuma chnisam mochila kadesh de behemto ocheles uptura min ha maaser the machloket between Rabbeinu Ephraim and the other Rishonim. Right, when you are marim machnisam motz kadesh de behemto ocheles uptura min ha maaser, who can eat it? Only the behemah can eat it, or even a person can eat it. Valid question. Only the simple pshat is only a behemah can eat it. Why is that? Why would only behemah be allowed to eat it? Because let's bring some background information here. The even before produce is tevel, from the moment you harvest produce, midrabanan, there's an iser called achilas keva. You're not allowed to eat achilas keva. You're not allowed to eat achilas keva from any tvua that you weren't mafresh from. You're only allowed to eat achilas arai. And any feeding an animal is called achilas arai. So let's say I just harvest my tvua in the field. It's not yet tevel. I can eat a snack and I can feed my animal as much as I want. According to all the Rishonim, but the Rambam, in one weird case, there's no difference how much an animal eats. I can feed my animal however much I want. That's considered achilas arai, but I can't eat a meal. That's considered achilas keva. So let's say now I bring it into my house and I do this trick. What's the point of bringing it into my house without the motz? Because Rabbi Yanai says in B'Metzia Daf, I think the end of Pesayin of Beis, Eina tevel v'schai v'meiser ad, what's his phrase?
Rias p'nei abayis.
Ad she rah p'nei abayis. Shenemar b'yarti akodesh min ha'abayis. It's only, I'm going to say something which is its own lumdus, but for our purposes will be good enough for now. It only really becomes tevel if it has rias p'nei abayis. If it sees the front, the entrance of the house, if I bring it in the house. It has to be even a re'ias p'nei abayis through the door. That's why it says in Brachos that the earlier generations would bring it in through the front gate to be chayiv and trumas or maestros, to have re'ias p'nei abayis. The later generations would pull shtick and bring it in through the roof and through the other side doors in order to be potter from trumas or maestros. Right? So you need re'ias p'nei abayis of the gate, the main entry of the house, in order to for it to become tevel and chayiv in trumas or maestros. Until then, it's only asur nechilas keva. So what happens here? Here, clearly, I don't have re'ias p'nei abayis, because when I bring it in b'motz, that is a chisaron in the re'ias p'nei abayis. So if I don't have re'ias p'nei abayis, then it's not tevel. So what do most Rishonim assume? Most Rishonim assume, if I don't have re'ias p'nei abayis, then it's not tevel, then it keeps its old status of being usher and achilas keva. After all, it was usher and achilas keva before I brought it into the house. And now, when I bring it to the house now, it's not a re'iyat p'nei abayis. So it's like all tvua without re'iyat p'nei abayit. All tvua without re'iyat p'nei abayis is usher and achilas keva. That's what Rashi assumes here. That's what Tosos assumes here. That's what most Rishonim assume. Most Rishonim assume that, let's see, what is the status of what is the status of Maru Machnisava Mochila, right? What do Rashi and Tosos and most Rishonim here assume? Rashi and Ardaf says, isn't it still also Rakilas Keva? That we could better. But it's Aser Bachilas Keva. Why? Just like beforehand. Like all Tfuah that didn't have a Re'ias P'nei Abayis. Just like all Tfuah without a Re'ias P'nei Abayis. Just like all Tfuah without a Re'ias P'nei Abayis. It is. excuse me. Mutter to feed your animal, but asur ba achilas keva for humans. However, and then they have a question in our sugya. What's the question in our sugya? The question that Rashi asked on himself and Tosfos asked on himself in our sugya. The question our sugya becomes, hold on a second. If it's still asur and achilas keva, then how does the second answer of the Gemara help? Say it's only shema o shema, suffik the suffik. Maybe it was tevel, maybe not. And even if it was tevel, maybe the chavur is mafresh, maybe it wasn't. And the suffix is mostly they suffix. That's fine for achilas arai. But if for achilas keva, it's still vade suffix. It was vada esor achilas keva. So how could we trust that the chavur is mafresh? That suffix mostly they vade. That creates the question in our sugya, right? Then the question our sugya becomes. La'inyan achilas keva, it was vada elsher in achilas keva, ain safik motzi midevadai. That's the kasha that all the Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos, everyone asks on themselves. La'inyan achilas keva, it's safik v'safik. Maybe he brought it in Riyas Pnei Abayis normally and it became tevel. La'inyan tevel, it's safik v'safik. Maybe he brought it in Riyas Pnei Abayis, became tevel. And then maybe he was mafresh. Suffik mostly they suffik. But le'inyan achilas keva, it was vaday asur b'achilas keva. It was asur b'achilas keva even before he brought in the house. No matter which way he brought in the house, it's asur b'achilas keva, and only suffik afrasha. How could suffik be motzi midei vaday? After all, the Brisa says, arei hein b'chezkas mitukanim. You assume they're mafresh. It sounds like you can even eat keva from them. Of course, who avoids this problem? The other sheet on the sogya is Rabbeinu Ephraim. Not the Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Rambam mentioned in his tshuva, not the Sfardi Rabbeinu Ephraim Mikila Chamad, Talmud of the Rif, but here Rabbeinu Ephraim Regensburg, the Baal Tosfos, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, he says, nope, mutter, it's mutter even in achilas keva for Adam. It's mutter even for a person to eat it by achilas keva. Where's Rabbeinu Ephraim found? He's found in all the Rishonim. He's found in almost all the Tosfos, just not Tosfos in our daf. He's found in the parallel Tosfos in the daf of Menachos, where the same exact sugya appears. He's found in every other version of Tosfos on our daf, Tosfos Rosh, Tosfos Rosh Mishan, Tosfos Bein Peretz. He just happens to have coincidentally not made it into the Tosfos in our daf. But the Tosfos in Menachos quotes the Shita of Rabbeinu Ephraim, says the parallel Tosfos in Menachos, Ayim Farsh, Rabbeinu Ephraim, he told Kach, Dil Adam Atzmo Nami Shari, it's even much for a person to eat Achilas Keva, Behemta Gnokat, etc. Why? What's pshat? Why should it be more mutter than beforehand? Before you brought into your house b'motshela, before you brought into the house with the motz, it was asur b'achilas keva. Now you bring into the house with the motz. I understand Rashi and Tosfos and Rav Rishonim. That's no worse. It didn't become tevel. But why should it become better? Why should it be more mutter just as you brought into your house in the chaff? I hope I'm using my English words properly. I should have checked the dictionary first. You know, in the husk, you know, that thing that's around the kernel when it grows. Not the hay that the stalk it stands up on, but the, you know, that sort of oval type of oblong thing that holds it. In the moats, why should it be more mutter? What's the svar of Rabbeinu Ephraim? Someone tell me. What's the svar of Rabbeinu Ephraim?
It will never be chayav and meiser.
Exactly. Until you bring it to the house, it has potential to be chayiv and meiser. So it's usher to eat achilas keva, so it'll be chayiv and meiser later. But once you bring it to the house, b'motshela, it'll never be chayiv and meiser. And if it's never going to be chayiv and meiser, then there's no isser even of achilas keva. Why? Meaning, it's more kal. Oh, that's pretty bad handwriting. My handwriting's bad enough. I have to do what Morty said and get myself a proper pen tablet. That'll help a little. But anyway, what does it say? We say that it is more kal than beforehand, because now it doesn't even have potential to be tevel until you brought into the house b'mod to that potential to be tevel. Now it doesn't even have potential to be tevel. Okay, that is the famous machlokas between Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rashi and Tosos. So I just want to, let's take a moment to, I mean, not even between Rabbeinu Ephraim and Tosos. There are different Bali Tosos. Tosos and Ardaf, who's quoting mostly the Ri, right? The famous machlokas between, right, Tosos quotes the Ri a few places. The other Bali Tosos and Rashi and others versus Rabbeinu Ephraim. Now, let's just first deal with the kasha and answers that everyone has. So let's remember this machlokas. What's the kasha on Rabbeinu Ephraim? Besides the fact they bring kashas from all kinds of sugyas. But even right here, even in our sugya itself, kasha al Rabbeinu Ephraim, lashon. What's the lashon? Marv adam al atfu machnisa b'mochila, kidei shetehei behem to ocheles. If Rabbi Oshia only said, Rabbi Oshia did not say he himself could eat. Isn't that against Rabbeinu Ephraim? So what's the answer that Tosos and most Rishonim give to defend Rabbeinu Ephraim? Why does Rabbi Oshia say Behemto if really it's mutter even for people?
Because it's basically for Behemto. And
but why?
He's just doing, he doesn't want anybody to know that he's...
Exactly, he's Miss Bayesh. Because he's embarrassed to say that he's doing this harama for himself. He's embarrassed to say he's doing the harama for himself, and therefore, halachically, it makes no difference. The same for animal, the same for person. He was just saying, what's a likely case given psychology and sociology and v'chule v'chule? He says, mistama, he'll say it's for his behema, meaning, if you ask him why he's doing it, he'll say it's for his animal. It might be for him, but he'll only say it's for his animal because he's embarrassed. So that's what Tosos says. I'm pretty sure Menachos and most Rishonim, right? I think Tosos Menachos says this. Yes, shelitzorch behemto machmis, shemis bayesh lomar litzorch atzvo. This is not what Rav Oshi is saying. It's what the guy is saying that Rav Oshi is envisioning. Rav Oshi is envisioning a guy who's doing this. Rav Oshi says the guy who's doing this will do it for his animal, quote unquote. Right? So says Tosos the ode. He says mis bayesh.
Is that why it's an Adam and not a Chaver?
And maybe that's why it's an Adam and not a Chaver in Rav Oshia. You know, a Chaver wouldn't do any of these things. An Adam would do it, but he'd be embarrassed to admit that it's for him, and he'll say it's for his animal. The Chiddush Aran, as I mentioned before, has a second answer. Says the Chiddush Aran, no, this is not sociology. This is halacha. What do you mean halacha? Rabbeinu Ephraim just said that. Rabbeinu Ephraim just said halachically there's no difference between a person and an animal. So the Chiddush Aran says on behalf of Rabbeinu Ephraim, that is b'di'evan once you do it, but not l'chadchila. Halachically, I mean, the Chiddush Aran and the other Rishonim are almost the same thing. They're saying, well, l'chadchila, the guy wouldn't want to say he's doing it for himself. The only difference is Tosos says it's purely what other people think, and the Chiddush Aran says because that's the halacha l'chadchila. Okay. Chiddush Aran is all right. Obviously, in our door, we're be'ikvas of the Mashiach, and most people only do things as what other people think. We relate more to Tosos than the other Rishonim, but we should strive to relate to the Chiddush Aran and care what the halacha thinks. Says the Chiddush Aran, because lechatchila, obviously the trick works for people and animals, but lechatchila aser leharim letzorach adam. That's what we mentioned before. How could a chaver be ma'arim? A chaver keeps the halacha l'chadchila. But even l'chadchila, it's mutter to do a trick for a behema. Why? I think the answer is, like I said before, why is it mutter to do a trick for a behema? I think the answer is because tricks are to get around they succeed in getting around the letter of the law. So what's bad about tricks? You get around the spirit of the law. Okay, but the spirit of the law Mela was really intended for people. Really, the Rishonim have a hard time even explaining why animals ever need to eat Maisert food. Therefore, you know, a Habram is okay when you're not really violating the Iker spirit of the law. So that's two ways to defend Rabbeinu Ephraim. How about what's the problem with Tosos? Kasha Al Rashi and Tosos. Misugyan, right? As we had this on the last board, right? Right, I wrote down on the last word, what's the kasha? In Safi Multi Vade, it was Vadai Osir Bachilas Keva. Oh, you know, I can write it. It was Vadai Osir Bachilas Keva. It was Vadai Osir Bachilas Keva. Then, how is the Safi Multi Vade? Vadai Osir Bachilas Keva. And here we have a bunch of answers in the Rishonim, not so many answers to Rishonim. What does Rashi say? Rashi asked this question himself. He knows it's such an obvious question, even Rashi feels that he needs to explain it to us. Says Rashi, Velotema Nehid Vulchaila Chivla Achilas Araya Achilas Kevin Mia Litzru, Ta Mitzra Achilas Kevin Kodin Kvias Gorin, Ugmar Melachim, Litzru. Say, and don't ask, what do you mean? Why not say it's Osir Achilas Keva? Because it was Vada Osir Achilas Keva, ain't solving the ultimate Vada. No, the other mitzvah Achilas Keva couldn't be his Goren Gmar Melacha. The reason why Achilas Keva is Osir eating four Gmar Melacha is Midrabanan who? It's only an Isser Drabanan. The Isser Achilas Keva is only Drabanan. And so what? We got the Isser Drabanan, some Chinna Cheskas Chavar, She Isran. By an Isser Drabanan, we can rely on the Cheskas Chavar. By an Isser Drabanan, we can rely on Cheskas Chavar. It's not 100% clear to me what Rashi meant by when he says by an Isser Drabanan we can rely on Cheskas Chaver. Certainly the way Tosfos takes Rashi is, what does Tosfos say? Vitema, et cetera, et cetera. And he answers, Agavorcha, because Asi Safek and Motsu Bide Vadai Drabanan. Because Safek is Motsu Bide Vadai in a Drabanan. So that's one possible answer. We'll see this when we get to the Lumda of Safek and Motsu Bide Vadai. I know first we're dealing with each particular Sugi, then we'll deal with the Sugi as a whole. Right? So one answer is, says Rashi, Bidrabanan Samchinan. Al Chezkas Chaver. What does this mean? Even though it's not a Vaday, this isn't the first answer of Vaday, this is the second answer. But Midrabanan, we're Somig on Chezkas Chaver. Why Midrabanan, we're Somig on Chezkas Chaver? Says Tosfos. And this is the first, the Tosaran has two days. This is basically the first day of the Tosaran, of Chidusharan, I mean. Says Tosfos that Safik Motzi. Midei vadai isur drabanan. A suffix and not motzi midei avadai isur daraisa. But suffix is motzi midei avadai isur drabanan. Okay, even though ain't suffix motzi midei vadai, that's how we're going to paskin. We're going to accept rava. That's only daraisa and drabanan. Suffix motzi midei vadai. Then suffix just gets into trouble here. Says, hold on a second. Remember, Daf Dalad Amud Beis, Bedikas Chametz is also Drabanan. So why isn't Safik Motzi Bidei Vadai in our sugya of Bedikas Chametz? And Tosos, what do you do with Chametz? So Tosos on our Daf answers, make an Okimta. The Okimta is that our Mishnah is where you didn't do Bittel, and therefore it's a Daraisa. That's a big Kiddush. Safik would be Motzi Bidei Vadai Bedikas Chametz. However, our normal bedikas chametz, but our mission is where the guy didn't do bittel. Since he didn't do bittel, therefore it's a din d'oraisa. Right? You want to say why not just do bittel now? Okay, I don't know. Maybe he could do bittel now, but he didn't. Or maybe by the time he realized it was past the time of iser, it was already the sixth hour, and it's too late to do bittel. Okay, Tosfos makes the okimta. Tosfos and Nachos has a different chiddush. He says chumer de pesach. We treat bedikas chametz as d'oraisa for this purpose. Because of the chumrah of chametz, even though it's only drabanan. Okay, so that's 2 days. Do you have to make a okent in our mission according to Tosos? Say our mission is without bedika to make it d'oraisa, or even without an okenta. Even though bedika is drabanan, we treat it like d'oraisa for some purposes because chametz is so chamer. Interestingly, we didn't treat it like d'oraisa and d'abdala and beis for the purpose of edus of ketanim. Okay, for the purpose of edus, we don't treat it like a d'oraisa, but for the purpose of sfeikos, we do treat it like a d'oraisa. Okay, so that's what you have to say. You have two answers for chametz, right?
Yeah. Rabbi, you could also say that the dinner of sfeikos is not said legabi b'dikas.
Two answers. Yeah, but then you wouldn't be able to compare b'dikas chametz to these sugyas at all. Then why are they comparing it to meduras akum and to tevel, etc.? So rather, we want to say it's like a d'oraisa. Okay, we have two answers. However, being David says a little different. Again, these are 2 days in the Kedusha Aran also.
You're almost over, then you'll eat breakfast and you could go back to sleep.
Say, Morty. The Ran has both these days, but says Ravinu David very nicely. Says Ravinu David, he says, no, it's not that suffix multiple divided by drabanan. Suffix is not multiple divided even by drabanan. And I'm not sure which of these Rashi meant. Rashi's vague. He says that just in a drabanan, you know, there's a matter of hachra. Sometimes sfeikos mean we're just mesupik, and we want to know what's the halacha of makom suffik. Suffik d'oraisa l'chumra, suffik d'rabanan l'kula, etc. Sometimes, you know, in like real life halacha, if you're ever involved in halachic shailas, it's a machlokas aposkim. We're not sure about it. You ever go to rabbi and say, well, there's this svara, there's this shita, I'm not sure about it, but since it's drabanan, we can rely on it. Not midin, the formal hachra sfeikos. Midin, there's a shita that we're somechan by drabanans. So that's what Rabbeinu David says. That not that suffering was divided by drabanans, but for drabanans, we're somechan Rav Chanina Chozaa. They said, what do you mean? You think we didn't know Rav Chanina Chozaa's idea that chezkas chavre enim otsunim tachas yadu davar she'enim mitukan? Yeah, we just weren't somechan it. We weren't sure he was right. In drabanan, it's a vade vade, and we rely on Rav Chanina Chozaa. That's what he says. Bidrabanan somchin. I don't know if it doesn't necessarily mean they knew the person Rav Chanina Chozaa. I mean the svara of Rav Chanina Chozaa, and therefore it's avadai uvadai. Okay, that's an important machlokas. We'll have to see when we analyze why suffik not motzmidei vadai. We might have to analyze why is there this difference between Tosfos and Rabbeinu David. Tosfos says in drabanan suffik is motzmidei vadai. Rabbeinu David says no, even in drabanan suffik is not motzmidei vadai. It's just that in drabanan it's vadai vadai because we rely on Rav Chanina Chozaa. Okay, but we'll have to come back to that later. Remember, put in your back of your mind when we do analyze why suffik not motzmidei vadai, we'll have to see how come Tosfos thinks but in drabanan it is, and Rabbeinu David refused to say that. And Lechor Rabbeinu Ephraim also refused to say that. And Rashi, we're not sure what he meant. Okay, so now we've answered up all of the questions. Well, there's one last answer, which is number 3. Tosfos has a second answer, right? Tosfos, there's 2 answers. The Omari first, the Odomari, right? It's the Re in Tosfos, right? We'll just call it Tosfos. Tosfos in his second answer. What does he say? He says, En achanami, it's Osir Bachilas Keva.
Okay.
He's the only one who says, En achanami, it is Osir Bachilas Keva. Ah, what do you mean it's Osir? And that's what Rav Oshia says. Only behemto ochela subtorban amaiser. He can't eat at least more than a tiny snack. How does he deal with our sugya where it's the Tanya Chavar Shemes V'niach Megura Malaya Peros, where it says you can do whatever you want with them? Says the Re, the Hadagari, because we're talking about Mahanath Lochazi Ala Behema, it's talking about animal food. Vehabraisa Shematir Myri Rock. Okay, again, I don't mean something unfit for eating by humans. If it's really unfit for eating by humans, then maybe it's pato legamri from trubus or maisos. But what I mean is that food that sociologically, you know, we only feed to animals. That's what Tosas meant. Okay, so that's a radical opinion. Maybe Taka, it, basically, Rabbeinu Ephraim says, even the case of Oshia, it's mutter for people to eat. The other Rishonim, Rashi, don't say, no, in the case of Oshia, it's usher for people to eat. So why in the case of Chavar Shemes, it's mutter for people to eat? One answer is Safi must be divided between Rabbanan. Second answer, it's a vade yuvade because the Rabbanan we somach rechini chozah. Third answer, takets usher for people to eat, and we make an okimta in the brisa of chaver shemes that it's only talking about animal food. Okay, those are the defenses. Now I just want to get a little deeper.
Why can't we be like briskers here and say that the chefta is a suffix? The fact that there's an isur to eat achilas keva. It's just an Isur Gavra. I mean, but the Chefza itself is a heter Chefza Shel Safek.
Because we shouldn't always be like briskers in that sense. meaning, it could be the Isur Achilas Keva is only an Isur on the Gavra, and the Chefza itself is a Chefza of a Safek, but it shouldn't matter. Because you still have this vaday iser gavra and ain suffig motzim de vaday. You're making an assumption in your answer. Your assumption is what comes before the sentence that came out of your mouth is ain suffig motzim de vaday is only by isuri chefta. That's a big assumption that ain suffig motzim de vaday is only by isuri chefta.
I'm playing that as a possibility, not as
right.
A...
That's what you're claiming is about. You're giving a brisker answer. Ain suffig motzim de vaday is only by an iser chefta. Tevel is an iser chefta. But the Achilas Keva is only in Isur Gavra, and there's no in suffering Motzim Devadai by Isur Gavra, because it's all about the status of the item. And by Isur Gavra, there's no status on the item. You know what? Maybe it's not crazy. Maybe you could give I haven't seen the briskers give the answer. I know I didn't look at every brisker everywhere he could have talked about it. But I think I might have noticed. But nonetheless, say, look, what is it talking about? Here it's talking about Bedigas Chametz, that's an Isur Chefta. It's a Chalos in the Bias, as we said. Right? We're talking about Tumas Mace. That's obviously a Chefta of a Mace. We're talking about Tevel, Chefta of Tevel. We're talking again about Tumas Mace. And then that's it. Then the Sugya ends. So maybe it's not so crazy to say, that only when there's a chefta in the suffix, not motzim devadai status of the chefta. Over here, it's an Isur Gavra. Okay, maybe you could say that. It would be very brisker. Maybe you could say that. It's not in the Rishonim. Usually, if you want to be a brisker, what do you say? None of the Rishonim give this answer, but the Rambam stuck giving this answer. Is the Rambam stuck? What's the Rambam going to say? The Rambam... The Rambam Paskins, he doesn't say explicitly whether he holds like Rabbeinu Ephraim or not. Simple pshat is he doesn't sound like Rabbeinu Ephraim. Simple pshat, the Rambam does not sound like Rabbeinu Ephraim. If the Rambam doesn't sound like Rabbeinu Ephraim, right, if the Rambam doesn't sound like Rabbeinu Ephraim, maybe where's my Zraim? If the Rambam doesn't sound like Rabbeinu Ephraim, then you have the same question on him. Yeah, but you don't know. He could have a lot of answers available to him. Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't sound like Rabbeinu Ephraim, but it's hard to know. Okay. Anyway, it could be. I admit it could be. Okay, now let me ask you another question.
According to Rabbeinu Ephraim, does he ever have to be Meiser, even Drabbanon?
No, he's Potter forever. He's Potter. The trick worked.
Rabbi?
Yes.
According to Rabbeinu David, how does that read in the Gemara? The Gemara seems to be saying it's a suffix and a suffix, not a vada and vada.
No. The Gemara means on the Doraisa level, it's a suffix and a suffix. Maybe it became Tevel, maybe it didn't. And even if it became Tevel, maybe it was Mafresh. What the Gemara doesn't bother to say, because the Gemara cares more about the Doraisa level, but what the Gemara doesn't bother to say is that, and if you would ask me about the Doraisa level, there I go back to the Rabbana level, I go back to Vada and Vada. I mean, the Gemara says suffix of suffix, because the Gemara is talking about the Doraisa level. Me, Doraisa, it's suffix for suffix. However, what the Gemara didn't say, is that, but if you want to know on the Drabbana level, I have to agree with the first answer, it's Vaday Uvaday. Okay, could be. The Gemara is only talking on the Doraisa level. It's a Chiddush. but it could be. Now, let me ask you the following question. What is the Yesod HaMachlokes between Rashi and Tosos and Rabbeinu Ephraim? Should it become Mutter in Achilas Keva to an Adam, or should it not? That's a very valid question. What? After all, Rashi and Tosos seem to have a taina. It was Asher and Achilas Keva until now, so it should stay Asher Achilas Keva. Rabbeinu Ephraim also has a taina. Until now, it had the potential to become Tevel Doraisa. So there's an Isser of Achilas Keva Midrabanan. Now it has no potential to become Keva anymore. So there's no need for an Isser of Achilas Keva Midrabanan. So what are they arguing about? So I think they could be arguing about one of two things. The first one it really depends which sugya you're in. But certainly in the way they argue, let's just right here, Rashi and Tosos. I keep saying Tosos. Why do I say Tosos? After all, the Rabbeinu Ephraim is also in Tosos. But you know what I mean. I mean the Re. And the other Bali Tosos versus Rabbeinu Ephraim. What is the Yesod HaMachlokes? So I think you could look at it in one of two ways. One way is they're arguing about Rabbeinu Ephraim's assumption. Is it true that it can never become Doraisa anymore? Is it true that it can never become Doraisa anymore? Maybe it's not true. Who says? Now, here it's a little unfair because Rashi says, so not for Rashi himself, but one way is they argue about, you could question Rabbeinu Ephraim's assumption. 1 second. How am I going to do this? I'll figure it out. One way of saying is that, even though it's not going to be Rashi himself, you could question Rabbeinu Ephraim's assumption. What's Rabbeinu Ephraim's assumption? Rabbeinu Ephraim's assumption is that it can't become Tevel. Once what? Technically what he says is, and the way most Rishonim quote him is, once you do Meiruach Babayis, once you do Gemar Melacha Babayis. Okay, I think probably we might have needed some more background here. The Gemara says a few places that Tavua, again, once you harvest Tavua, Midrabanan is Asur Bachilas Keva. You can only eat a snack or feed your animal as much as you want because an animal is always like Achilas Keva. But let's look at the Doraisa level. It doesn't become Tevel until you have Gemar Melacha. Until you have Gemar Melacha. Until you have the... 1 second. Until you finish the processing in the field. The Gemar Melacha is in halachic lingo is called Meiruach. Meiruach. Mem Yud Reish Vav Ches. Meiruach literally means like Meiruach on Shabbos, smoothing out. What that means is that after you harvest your grain and you bundle it, I'm trying to go through Hilchos Shabbos here, and you thresh it, and you winnow it, and you pick out the pebbles, you sort out the pebbles, then, I hope I didn't forget too much, then all you have is a pure wheat kernels. Again, before grinding. Grinding is not done in the field. The pure wheat kernels, you do that in the gorin. The gorin is the threshing floor and the winnow, really the threshing and winnowing area. Meiruach hakriba gorin. Then you have a pile of, after the threshing and winnowing, you have a pile, you have lots of wheat kernels or grain or legume kernels. Then you make them into a pile. You smooth them into a pile. That's the Gemar Melacha. That is called Meiruach. Nothing becomes Tevel till Gemar Melacha. Rabbi Yanai also says, but Metzia daf, I think the bottom page Zayin Amud Beis, if I am not mistaken, right? Is it page Zayin Amud Beis, page Chesam Aleph? I think he says it. Okay, it's both, it's the sentence is half on bottom page Zayin Amud Beis, half the top of page Chesam Aleph. Sorry. Rabbi Yana says it's only chayv and meiser when it enters the house. Achayira pnei habayis, reiyas pnei habayis. There's two lashonos at the end of the sugya there in Pechesim and Beis, which Rabbi David here discusses. Whether you need meruach and reiyas pnei habayis, or it's meruach or reiyas pnei habayis. The Rambam and many Rishonim assume you need Meiruach and Re'ias Pnei Abayis. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Ramban and Rabbeinu David and the Raivin assumes Meiruach or Re'ias Pnei Abayis. Okay, let's, for the sake of simplicity now, say you need Gemar Malacha and Re'ias Pnei Abayis. Okay, so says Rabbeinu Ephraim, you do the Re'ias Pnei, you bring it in Bemotz, and then you do Gemar Malacha inside. You still have to do the Malacha, you do Gemar Malacha inside, so it can't become Tevel after Hachnasim Bemotz, Gemar Malacha, let's even call it Meiruach. Says the Rabbeinu Ephraim, if you bring it in Bemotz and you then do the Meiruach, the Gemar Malach in the house, now it can't become Tevel anymore. No, it's not Tevel if you do the Gemar Malach in the house after Meiruach, meaning you bring it in Bemotz, even if you do the Gemar Malacha, it still won't become Tevel. This is Taka e Machlokes Rishonim. Maybe Rashi and Tosos. However, it's not going to be Rashi and Tosos themselves. But maybe Rashi tells the question, the assumption, they would just say that no, that let's even call it Meiruach. Maybe they question the assumption and say, once you do Meiruach in the house, it does become Tevel. Right? Maybe that's the machlokis. Maybe the reason they're arguing is Rabbeinu Ephraim holds once you bring it in, can't become tevel. If it can't become tevel, there's no iser of achilas keva. Now it's mufka from Trumas or Maestros. And Rashi and Tosa say not true. Even once you bring it in the house, bemot shela, it can still become tevel if you remove the motes and do a gemar malacha. Right? You thresh it in your house and you winnow it in your house, and you make a pile of grains in your house, it will become Tevel. So maybe, obviously, if you deny Rabbeinu Ephraim's assumption, then you deny his conclusion. If it still has potential to become Tevel, then if it has potential to become Tevel, then obviously it should still have an Isser of Achilas Keva. Now, who hold these different shitas? Here, you'll see what I mean by not Rashi and Tosas themselves. Rabbeinu Ephraim obviously hold that it has no potential, it will never become Tevel again. Who holds this? Rashi also holds this, which is why this can't be this far for Rashi himself. Rashi says explicitly here. Rashi says that ukshegmar melachton kvar besocha bayisu ve'ein elu pnei bayis. Even when you do the gemar melacha, it's already inside the house, and it's not seeing the entryway of the house. Even if you do gemar melacha in the house, it stays. Even if you do gemar melacha in the house, it stays mutter. Ari. You have a question?
Why does that make Rashi say it's irreversible? Meaning Rabbeinu David, when he quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim as being irreversible, it's irreversible that even if you take it back outside and bring it back in, then it won't work. Rashi is just saying that if you do it in your house, it's irreversible, but if you were to bring it back outside and bring it back in theory, it could be reversible.
That is a great question. As Rabbeinu David points out, you're right. It seems like everyone agrees. It's not clear to me who disagrees. There are some Achronim, some Rishonim disagree. It seems like very, at least the mainstream, if I bring it in my house and then take it back out and do the Meiruach outside and then bring it to my house in the normal way, that will be Chayiv again. So why does Rabbeinu Ephraim say you're never going to be chayav? So I think the answer, I'd say one of two things, and this gets a little subtle. Either number one,
Rabbeinu Ephraim only means that once you do Meiruach in the house, now it's Pater forever. Because now it's too late to bring it outside and do Meiruach outside the house.
That's what Rabbeinu David says, correct?
What?
That's what Rabbeinu David quotes him as.
Yeah. And that's what it sounds like from Tosfos and Bava. See, also only after you do Meiruach, correct, and that, which is his whole vart of how he explains the Gemara and Beitza for him, correct? Maybe it's only after you do the Meiruach that it can't become Tevel again, and now it's Mutar Bechilas Keva. Theoretically, you could also have answered for Rabbeinu Ephraim that, no, he doesn't mean possible. He means Menestam. Once you bring it in your house, Menestam, you're going to do whatever you have to do in the house. Menestam, you're not going to bring it out and process it in the field and bring it back to your house. And therefore, Menestam, it's never going to be Tevel. So the way many of you showed him quote Rabbeinu Ephraim is he sounds like, Taken only becomes Mutar Bechilas Keva after you do the Gemar Malach in the house.
Rebbe, I have a Ramban in the name of Rebbeinu Shmuel. Shemichnisa tuva labayis b'motshela, afim yachzor v'yotzi b'motshela, v'imrachotah b'chutz, v'yachzirena lo yitchayev.
Yeah, that's the famous shita that Rebbeinu Shmuel is the Rashbam. The Rashbam is basically, if you'll ask me, I'm not going to put it on the board, but if you'll ask me, in Rebbeinu Ephraim, what do you mean it's mutar b'achilas keva because there's no more potential tevel? Sure, you could bring it out of the house, process it out of the house and bring it back in the normal way. So there are three answers. The Rashbam holds, even that would be plucked from Trumas Maitros.
Right.
Because the first time it went in the house was B'motz. And the second time it goes in the house doesn't count.
Yeah.
That's a Shitas Yachid. The simple Pshat of Rebbeinu Ephraim is that he admits as Asur B'Achilas Keva as soon as you bring it in your house. But once you already do the processing in your house, now you can't process it outside anymore. And now it's Mutar B'Achilas Keva. And the third shot, which I don't have a Mefurish Malkor for, but I think could be, is that he means once you bring it in your house, the normal thing to do would be to process it in the house. And we don't take into account the possibility of bringing it outside and processing it in the field. Okay, so you can have three answers. Anyway, Tosos and Bava Metzia also, Tosos here is not so clear. Tosos and Bava Metzia is Mefurish, agrees with, he takes the Tosos I gave him Bava Metzia, assumes it's never Pashut. He doesn't even make a big deal of it. He just takes it as an assumption, as a granted, that once you process it in the house, it is pater. That's why he asked the question. How come if you bring your pumpkins in the house and pick off the leaves in the house, do the Gemar Malach in the house, they become chayiv in Trumas Maisros? After all, if you brought your wheat in the house and processed it in the house, it would be pater. He also assumes like Rabbeinu Ephraim, who assumes against Rabbeinu Ephraim, who denies, well.
He said.
Here it gets a little tricky, but who assumes if you do Meiruach in the house, it does become Tevel? The Rambam. The Rambam says explicitly, if I process it in the house, it becomes Tevel. The Rambam says explicitly, if I process it in the house, it becomes Tevel. Oh, so how do I eat it? If I break a few husks at a time and take them and use them for food, that's not called a malacha. But if I start beating it with the intention of making a whole pile, then that's called gmar malacha, and now it is tevel. So the Rambam assumes Meiruach on the bayis does become tevel. Likewise, and now you'll have to give me a second to explain myself. Likewise, Rabbeinu David here and the Ramban there in Bava Metzia. he says he also. Give me a second. Okay, excuse me. The Rabbeinu David and over here, and the Ramban in Bava Metzia as well. They assume that Meiruach is mechayiv without reis b'nei bayis. So obviously, Meiruach inside would make it tevel. So maybe you could say that, I know I'm going to question this in a moment, maybe you could say that this is why Rashi and Tosos disagree with Rabbeinu Ephraim. Maybe that's why they disagree with Rabbeinu Ephraim, because they hold that it still has potential to become Tevel, and they question his assumption. However, I think it's unlike, well, let's just go back for a second. Let's ask ourselves, let's go back for a second, Rabosai, and ask ourselves, before we see why this is wrong, oh my gosh, we don't have much time. Ask ourselves, what's the Yisod HaMachlokas? What's the Nekudas HaMachlokas, whether Meiruach Babayis makes it Tevel or not? Okay, this isn't going to be the right way that I like to analyze the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos versus Rabbeinu Ephraim. Well, it could be. Just not my favorite way to analyze it, for reasons that I'll say in a moment. But what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas? Should Meiruach Babayis be enough to make it Tevel, or should Meiruach in the Bayis not be enough to make it Tevel? Good question. So that might depend on two things. Number one, the machlokas two deos in Daf Pechesim and Bezim of Metzia, which was the Rambam and Ravid, may have been there in Hilchas Meiser, in the parts I gave you, it may have been earlier, maybe it was the beginning of that parak before the part I gave you. is Meiruach, does Meiruach make a Tevel without Rias Pnei Abayis? Clearly, we don't have it. Well, even if Meiruach makes a Tevel even without Rias Pnei Abayis, then obviously Meiruach will make it Tevel. So why? So let's say like this. What's the Svara? The Svara is this. That even though you did Meiruach, you never did Rias Pnei Abayis. What are they saying? Rias Pnei Abayis b'motz is not a chalos Rias Pnei Abayis. That's they're saying. It's not a chalos Rias Pnei Abayis. That's exactly what they're saying, right? Meaning, hachnasa b'motz is not a chalos of Rias Pnei Abayis. Why is Achnasa B'mos not called a chalos Rias Pnei Abayis? Why is it not called a chalos Rias Pnei Abayis? So the there are basically three or four, you know, four or five answers, depending how you look at it. Why is it not called Rias Pnei Abayis? Let's list them. Perhaps, okay, we'll make ourselves a little box. Whoa, sorry. Why? Says Rashi here. Because lo nigmar malachto, Rias Pnei Abayis is only called Rias Pnei Abayis if it's nigmar malachto. What's the point? The point for Rashi would be, why do we care about Rias Pnei Abayis? Rias Pnei Abayis makes it a tevua ha'omed, right? Makes it basically a tevua that's ready for eating. A tevua that's in the parsha of consumption. What does Rias Pnei Abayis do? When you bring it in your house, what you're saying is, I am now turning this from an agricultural product to a potential meal. Rias Pnei Abayis is not about being in the house. It's about being ready to eat. And therefore, if the Rias Pnei Abayis was, when it wasn't Nigmar Malachto, it didn't make it ready to eat. And therefore, it's not a Rias Pnei Abayis. Rashi and Bab Metzia says two other pshatim. Rashi and Bab Metzia says, he says, what's his first shot? A very short Rashi and Bab Metzia. He says, Ke'ein Machal Behemo, Machal Behemo Patrona Meiser. When you bring it in with the husk, you're treating it like Michael Behema. And therefore, the Rias Pnei Abayis, you treat it like Michael Behema. And there's no Meiser in Michael Behema. Again, I know the behema needs meiser, etc. But that's only because it's Michael Adam, right? If you take it into the house, and at the moment you took it in the house, you took it in the house begeder bederech Michael behema. Therefore, that's not a reis pnei bayis. The second pshat Rashi says, which is clear from the Tosfos Beinu Peretz and the Shinui Gevetzes there, is b'motshelo shelo yira pnei bayis. He takes ria very literally. The tvua, the wheat has to see the pnei bayis. If the wheat is blocked by the husk, it can't see the pnei bayis. It's a chatzitza in front of the pnei bayis, not that the wheat has eyes. But the wheat has to have mamash exposure to the doorway. If it's in the husk that blocks it, it's a chotzeitz from the doorway. That's how the Tosfos and Peretz answers. How come when you have gourds that were not yet picked clean, then they are tevel even if you bring them in the house that way? But wheat not, because the gourd at least sees the pnei bayis. Right? So says Rashi in a second shot. And the Tosfos Beinu Peretz in Bava Metzia.
That's very strange. What happens if you bring the tefillah inside in a big steel box? It's already finished and you bring it inside in a box. It's
or even a normal case, you bring it in a sack, right? What if you bring it in a sack, right? It's very strange, right? What is it? B'mochelo shelo yireh pnei bayis. It can't see the pnei bayis. What do you mean it can't see the pnei bayis? What if you bring it in a sack? Don't normal people bring in a sack? Rabbeinu Peretz said also. Lekari is pnei bayis klaushu betoch hamotz. Aval hacha by the gourds, even if you didn't remove the leaves, ikashapa rias pnei bayis, the ein ha-pikas mechase. It's the kisoy, right? What about the kisoy? You have a sack, Morty? Morty asked a good question. What about kisoy? You have a sack? Don't people normally bring them in sacks, in closed sacks? The only answer I can think of is that the sack doesn't count as a chatzitza because it's not attached to the wheat. The husk is attached to the wheat, so therefore it's considered to be blocking the wheat from the pnei bayis. But it's a good question. You know, Re'ia, maybe I should stick to his words.
An interesting chatzitza, because we never have that kind of thing in normal chatzitza. Fine. If you have something on your skin chatzitza, and you go...
I'm going to say Re'ia Mamish. Again, Re'ia Mamish is funny. If I bring wheat in a sack, everyone knows that's Re'ia's pnei bayis. You have to say only something which is fundamentally prevented from seeing. It's a funny pshat. It's almost like it's a funny pshat for Morty's reason, even without that. The wheat needs a connection to the doorway. The wheat needs a connection to this house. And therefore, if the wheat is blocked from the house, that blocks from the house. It's like you have to be sorry for the wheat to the house somehow. It's a big chiddush reis pnei bayis. I thought reis pnei bayis just means you're getting it. You're putting it in a place where it is omed la'achila. That's what I thought. It's about omed la'achila. That's Rashi here. If it's not nigmar melacha, what difference does it make you bring in your house? It's not omed la'achila. And Rashi b'metzia, it's omed la'achila la'adam. But if you bring it in a way of machal behema, that's not... The reason the advice is not significant if it doesn't make it ready to eat. But what does that have to do with seeing or not seeing? Apparently, it's a new chiddush. It has to be mitzurf to a house. Mamish trumas or maisos that it didn't in houses, like bedikas chametz, according to our lamdas, like mezuzah. It's a big chiddush. We would have thought, no, the house is just the hechitensi of being ready to eat, and the other pshat to make sense. No, tremendous chiddush. You mamish need seiref to the house, and the husk blocks you from the house. Morty asks, why doesn't a sack block you from the house? Maybe because the sack is not attached. But it's
maybe because the sack
I would never have said this. I would have said, if it hadn't been Rashi and Tosfos Beinu Peretz, I would have said, some guy who doesn't know how to learn is taking the words too literally. I admit. But given that it's a Rashi and the Tosfos Beinu Peretz, and Tosfos Beinu Peretz is very explicit, it's about covering and not seeing, the answer is not that wheat has eyes. Peas do, but some peas, but wheat doesn't. But that you need seraph to the house, and it blocks that seraph to the house. Tremendous chiddush.
Maybe the sack is open. Maybe the sack is open.
Yeah, but that would be a big chiddush. Say a closed sack does not make a trumas or maisos. I'm not willing to paskin that. The Tosfos in Bava Metzia answers a little differently. Tosfos in Bava Metzia says, his lashon is, whether it's regilos, the chitin and tzorin are derech lemarchan basada. The derech is to smooth out and make a pile of kernels of wheat in the field and to bring the bais mimurachim. As opposed to, again, the old question was, the Gemara there says, if you bring in gourds with the leaves and you do the Gemara malach of taking off the leaves in the house, you're chayev. So why are you chayev in that case, but putter in our case? So the Tosos Rina Peretz answers, ah, because that doesn't block it from seeing. Here it blocks it from seeing. Says Tosos, that's a normal, this is abnormal. Says Tosos Bamitsiya, which again, you could say that's similar to some of the other pshatim. I'm not saying some of these pshatim are not similar to each other. Derech achnasa. Only achnasa kedarka is mechayev. Achnasa shalom kedarka is not mechayev. Okay, that could be a general rule of only things kederach count in Chumash, or it could also just be how much the omid lachilo, if you bring in the normal way, maybe here I would see it as more general rule of kedarka.
Well, that's what Tosfos and Baba Metzia adds regarding peros, like dates and figs and those, that the meruach is normally done in the house.
So and therefore it's chayev, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a matter of the normal way, and the Rabbeinu David here says a little differently. Rabbeinu David says a little differently. He says it's a chalos dagon. Dagon, there's something called dagon, which is not gemar melacha. He says the issue here is that it's not gemar melacha. It's almost the same as Rashi, but a little different, is that it's not dagon. It says rachis dagoncha, and it's not called dagon while it's in the husk. Right? Not because of Gmar Malacha, because of Chaloshem Dagon. He also used the phrase Digon. He says that's why it's not. He says we don't care about Gmar Malacha, because especially he is the Sheikh that Rias Bnei Bais is it makes a Tevel even without Gmar Malacha. But it's because it's not Dagon. Because it's not Dagon, right? Rias Bnei Bais Mechayv Achra Digon. Achra Digon. Okay, it's not Dagon. Okay, he says Digon, meaning it's not a real, like, edible product yet. Forget about Gemar Malacha. You don't need Gemar Malacha, but you need at least Digon, right? You need at least a basic translating into an edible product. If it's not a basic edible product, that's not Re'ias Pnei Abayis. Okay, let me take 1 second to say that's the Shita of many Rishonim. It's just not a Re'ias Pnei Abayis. If there's no Re'ias Pnei Abayis, it will never be Tevel in the world. That's Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rashi, and Tosfos. Again, Rabbeinu David, I know he's not in that sheet because he holds it's never going to be Re'ias Pnei Abayis, but he holds it could be Tevel anyway. Why do the Rambam Rabbeinu David hold that it can become Tevel again? For two totally different lumdish reasons. Rabbeinu David, because he paskins like the Lishna Basra in Bav Metzia Pechesim and Beis. I apologize, this is complicated. But what does Rabbeinu David hold? He holds like the Lishna Basra. In Bav Metzia Pechesim and Beis, which most Rishonim, I think, don't hold like. What does that Lishna Basra hold? That Lishna Basra holds that Meiruach is Tovel, even without Gemar Malacha. Therefore, of course, Meiruach Bebayis makes a Tevel, even without Gemar Malacha. Because, even without Rias Pnei Bayis. Sorry, even without Rias Pnei Bayis. What's the Lishna Basra? The Lishna Basra, if I can make a little asterisk. Is Tovel. Even without Re'ias Pnei Habayis. So then, of course, Meiruach inside would be Tovel. What is the Rambam? The Rambam doesn't hold that way at all. He holds your only Chayiv, you have Re'ias Pnei Habayis and Gemar Melacha and Meiruach. What does the Rambam hold? The Rambam would argue about the basic din of Rav Oshia with all the other Rishonim we've said until now. All the Rishonim would say the Rav Oshia is not a Chalos Re'ias Pnei Habayis. The Rambam would disagree. He would say Rav Oshia is a chalos Re'ias Pnei Habayis. Who says all of these 5 svaras are true? They're all made up. It was Ro'a Pnei Habayis. What's the problem? It was Ro'a Pnei Habayis. The only reason you could feed your animals is because there's no Gemar Melacha. So what would the Rambam? He would disagree with the assumption. He would say, is Re'ias Pnei Habayis. Right, and here we have, and therefore it is Rias Pnei Abayis. Why can you feed your animal? Because you haven't done a Gemar Malacha yet. But once you do a Gemar Malacha, now it becomes Tevel. Basically, then we have three different Shitas as to three different Shitas, Rabosai, as to three different Shitas as to what the basic Svara, what the basic Shita of Rav Oshaya is. One Shita is Rabbi Nor Ephraim and Rashi and Tosfos. He says it's considered not Rias Pnei Abayis. And therefore, you are potter forever, because once you don't have Rias Pnei Abayis, who cares if you do Meiruach? Second Shita is Rabbi David. It's considered not Rias Pnei Abayis, but you're not potter forever, because if you do Meiruach, you still Chayim, because he holds like the second Lashon of Rav Yanai, within Rav Yanai and Bav Metzia, that you don't need Gemar Malacha and Rias Pnei Abayis. You need Gemar Malacha or Rias Pnei Abayis. And the third sheet is the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say all this, but you have to say for him. He says, it is considered Rias Pnei Abayis. It's not a Chisonim Rias Pnei Abayis. He's against everyone else. None of these words are true. It's a total Rias Pnei Abayis. The only reason not Tevel is because you didn't have Gemar Malacha. But if you do Gemar Malacha, then it becomes Tevel. Those are the three different ways of understanding Rav Oshaya. Let me just I still have to explain why this pshat is wrong, and this is not the yisod of the machlo. Okay, we'll have to continue with this. Let me just put, what is Rav Oshaya's basic shita? What is Rav Oshaya's basic shita? Number one, Rashi, Tosfos, Rabbi Ephraim, as quoted in Tosfos, he says it's not a chalos Re'ias Pnei Habayis, and Meiruach is not Tovel, meaning make it Tevel, without Re'ias Pnei Habayis. Two is Rabbeinu David, which if you look in the Ramban and Bava Metzia, I didn't put on the Makor sheet, agrees with him. He also says it's not Achalos Re'ias Pnei Habayis. But Meiruach is Tovel without Re'ias Pnei Habayis, which is just two Lashonos, Lishna Kam and Lishna Basram, but Metzia Pechazon Beis, in everyone agrees, in grains, do you need Meiruach and Re'ias Pnei Habayis, or Meiruach or Re'ias Pnei Habayis? And the third Shita is what we were daik in the Rambam, because the Rambam is explicit that Meiruach is Mechayiv afterwards, like Rabbeinu David, but he's explicit that Meiruach is not Mechayiv without Re'ias Pnei Habayis, all in the Rambams I gave you. So what do you have to say? Your only thing, yeah, what your fourth state for the Rambam is, you have a totally different understanding of Rav Oshaya. It is a chalos Re'ias Pnei Habayis. It's not a pagam in the Re'ias Pnei Habayis. Ah, all these nice svaras we had? You know, those were nice bleich svaras, right? That we just made up. Oh, it's not Re'ias Pnei Habayis because it's not really ready to eat yet because it looks like animal food because it's not seeing anything, etc. You made up all those svaras. There is no such svara. Avada, it is a chalos Re'ias Pnei Habayis. So why can the animal eat? Animal can eat just because you didn't do Meiruach yet, right? But it's not Tevel until you also do Meiruach. So halacha lemaisa in Rav Oshaya, he agrees with Rabbeinu David, but for a totally different reason. They each agree with half of Rabbeinu Ephraim, just different halves. Okay, could it be that this is what I had on the last board, was the yesod of the machlokes in terms of whether it's asur achilas keva or mutar achilas keva? I don't really think it works out well for two reasons. A, because the names don't work out. Rashi and Tosos themselves hold that it's pater forever, like Rabbeinu Ephraim. And yet, they hold there's still an Isra Achilas Keva. So there must have a different reason for holding that way. And as Rabbeinu David pointed out, this whole thing might be irrelevant. Why? Because there are two stages, as everyone here pointed out, as Chaim pointed out, if we exclude the Shitas Yochid of the Rashbam, right? Forget that Shitas Yochid of the Rashbam that Chaim knew from the Masivta. Really, there are two stages. Until you do, even for Rashi and Tosos, until you do Meiruach in the house, it still could potentially be Chayiv. You could take it out and do Meiruach and bring it back. Once, what if you turn it into grains without doing Meiruach in the house? You just little by little, process and make a little cup full of grains. Or according to Rabbeinu David, you just winnow and thresh it, but you don't make it into a nice pile. Basically, if you process it without ever being gomer the malacha, then even the Rambam and Rabbeinu David would admit certainly Rabbeinu David says explicitly, could be even the Rambam, it becomes mutter forever. So therefore, I don't think there's the Yisod HaMachlokas. What is the Yisod HaMachlokas? The hour is very late, so I'm going to apologize that we didn't get to finish the Makor sheet. We didn't even get to the last line in the Makor sheet. What I'll do is, next time, Emir Tzashem, I want to finish up what is the Yisod of the Machlokas, Pina Rabbeinu Ephraim, and the other Rishonim, Emir Tzashem. I'll go through again why I think my pshat now was wrong, and what I think the right pshat is. I'll briefly talk about the last line of the Makor sheet, about Tosos, Dimarasal Kedi, the second Tosos Masal Kedi. And then I want to talk about I hope you'll all have patience for me. I'm not sure how far we can get into Suffing those with Devada and all of Shas, but I do want to talk about the case of the Nefel in the Bor and the Kohen who is Hitzitz, who poked his head into the Bor, etc. In order to do that, you want to see Tosos Dibra Maskel Suffake on Daf Testament Bays. So the beginning of the next book course will be Tosos Dibra Maskel Suffake on Daf Testament Bays, and see the parallel discussions in Rabbeinu David and in the Maram Chalava. Tosos Testament Beis and Rasul Suffolk, the parallel Rabbeinu David there, and the Maram Chalava there will be a good start. After looking at that, we'll go on to all the sugyas of Ein Sof, all of Rashas. So if you're finished that, you can start looking at that, and I'll send at those sugyas. I'll send up a course later. Again, I apologize again that I'm snowed in. It could be that by now my roads are open, but certainly as of 9 o'clock, the roads were not yet plowed, and you weren't allowed to drive. So I will wish everyone a great Shabbos. Obviously, if you have questions, please feel free to ask. And I'll see you, hopefully, those who I usually see in person. There shouldn't be any more snow. I'll see you on Monday.
Yeah, I found here in the notes in the Merkavas HaMishnah this idea you mentioned right at the end of very slowly doing bit by bit versus doing